What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back. 7:02 here on this Friday night. We thank Jamie Lynch for hanging out on this Friday night for the Draft Line Show. Always fun talking some NBA or NFL and soccer, whatever it might be that we get into, the NHL as well, as we talk about the card for whatever night and some things that we had some fun on. And oftentimes we'll get things from you guys and you share it with us. So I know already I'm going to be paying attention to whatever we get here from Jamie tonight with the two best that he just posted on the air with the first bucket. So that's going to be fun to monitor that as well. 610-632-0975 as we talk some things here tonight with you with the Ben Simmons. And where I wanted to start was, and I listened all day from the morning show with the guys, John Kincaid and Jamie and Bob and Pat, to Anthony, Mike, and where we are right now. And I wanted to kind of revisit the conversation that we had. I believe it was on February the 8th, I think it was, that we had this conversation. And the conversation was, like Jamie mentioned when he was sitting here, do we need to just allow Ben Simmons to be who he is? And right now, it appears that a lot of people are really satisfied with the level of play that you're getting from Ben Simmons right now. We've already talked about his numbers in the month of February, where he has just been tremendous at this point with how he has been out there on the floor, not just his defense and the rebounds, and the assists that he's posting, but his point production just simply going up at this time. And when you look at where he is right now and you start to talk about just to kind of break things down and look at the splits in the month of what he's doing right now, he's just been fantastic with where he is at this point. Right now, 28 games in, he is shooting 57% from the field, 67% from the free throw line, as we talked about, 15.7, 8.1 rebounds, 7.9 assists. So he's at 8-8 with 16-8-8. And right now, in the month of February, with the 9 games that he has played in this month, 20.7 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. It's right on where we talked about. And I want to jump up too and focus on what he did in the points production, where that has gone up. December, 13.2. January, 13.4. In those months with his free throws, 61% in December, 65% in January in the 14 games, and right now shooting 73% from the free throw line in the month of February, and also shooting 62% from the field, which is not too shabby in itself. So in the wins, he has given you some really good numbers with 14 points, 8-8. In the losses, those 8 losses that he has played, they're 20-8 when he plays. They're 19.9 points, 8.1, 6.1 assists. And we know a lot of that is the 42-point performance against the Utah Jazz. He has had a couple of other 20-point games for the Philadelphia 76ers at this point as well. But look, the guy's just been really good as of late, and things have changed. And I heard, Mike and Ty were talking about this earlier. And I remember Tyrone putting out a tweet saying, does he just look different? And yeah, he looks different. He looks different. And for a lot of people, that different is what we've seen already, with just a little bit of touch of a little more aggressiveness as he tries to figure out his place and his space with this team overall. So I wanted to revisit it tonight, since it was just only, 2 weeks ago that we talked about this, to kind of get a sense where people are now. If we were a little bit premature in having that conversation at that time, it makes way more sense right now with where we are today, with the way that he is playing, averaging 21 points in the month, still giving you 8 rebounds, 8 assists, shooting 73% from the free throw line, 62% from the field. His turnovers in the month, he has 24 turnovers in 9 games. So you average that out right now, guys, you know where that is. He's right around 3 a game, and that's okay, right? That's all right with where we are at this point with Ben Simmons. His defense has not stopped. His defense has not stopped. He's still doing exactly what he does defensively, and it's highlighted with the performance that he gave you last night against Luka Doncic and making him sweat last night, having him complain last night as Ben Simmons defended him, and having him be disrespected post-game when Luka Doncic foolishly lying says, I don't notice who's across from me. I just go out there and play my game. Sometimes I'll have good ones. Other times I'll play worse. These are his words, right? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on, man. Just give the guy his credit. The same way you said you shouldn't be starting in the All-Star game and Damian Lillard should be, give Ben Simmons the credit and say, you know what? He did a good job tonight. He made things difficult for me. You're not giving up anything. The next time you see him, you might have a good game against him, right? You're an elite scorer in this league right now. You are that good of a player, Luka Doncic, where you can give that man his props opposite you with what he did against you tonight. So that's where I want to start again tonight. Just kind of bring that one back since it's only 2 weeks removed from the conversation, and ask everybody right now at 22-11 on the season, the month of February, where he's now a All-Star once again, third consecutive time that he's been selected by the coaches as a reserve, and the way that he is playing this month for this basketball team and how good he has been for this squad. Are you like Jamie, where you've decided, I'm just going to let him play. I'm just going to sit back and allow it to be what it is? Because allowing yourself to sit back and be what it is, you enjoy it. And yes, he is playing differently. He is being more aggressive. He is putting his head down and going right to the basket. I saw it again last night where he had an opportunity to pick up the ball like he does and locate someone else around the perimeter and give them the basketball. I saw him do it again last night where he picked up the ball, but instead of having a good passing lane, which he did, he decided to keep it and go up aggressively. And to get himself a bucket, to get his team that 2 points that they need instead of forcing a pass somewhere else or even a good play that was going to be a pass somewhere else for his teammates. I like the mindset right now. I love where he is. I love the way that he is approaching the game right now, both offensively and defensively. And before anyone calls or tweets and says, Devon, it doesn't matter until you get to the postseason. I know that. But guess what? We are at game number 33. Game 34 tomorrow. I can't jump. I can't go 39 games and make up something. I can't do it. I don't know. All right? So I have to take it for what it is and take it for where we are right now. I can't jump and predict what's going to happen 39 games from now when they start off the postseason and hope that he continues to do it. I don't know if he's going to do it tomorrow against Cleveland, but I think he's going to do it tomorrow against Cleveland. I suspect that we're going to get that type of performance from him against the Indiana Pacers. And the same goes for the Utah Jazz when they finish up the first half of the season next Wednesday right here on the Fanatic. And they look to repay the Jazz for the loss that they suffered on the road with his great performance of 42 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists. Or maybe it's switched. I know he had 42, 12, and 9 in that game when they lost it, but he was tremendous. And Tobias Harris was great as well with his 36. So I ask you, as we sit here tonight, 22-11, after a performance where he only scored 15 points, he did not rack up a high number of assists and rebounds against the team last night, the Dallas Mavericks. But he shut Luka Doncic down. Shut him down. By the way, in the 30 minutes that he played last night as a facilitator for the team, get this one, 0 turnovers. Okay? 0 turnovers last night. He just has this thing, this glow about him right now where he's just walking. The strut is real for him right now, right? Anything that he does, he's ultra confident at this time. Ultra confident. So if we revisit things now 2 weeks later, if you felt I was premature in asking the question then, and even if you feel like we're premature now because you want to focus on the playoffs, let's ignore the playoffs for a second because we can't jump all the way to May and get there. Let's enjoy this ride. Let's enjoy them battling it out with the Brooklyn Nets to see how real they are and finding their way into the Eastern Conference Finals and being the best team right now in the East. We'll figure out the whole trade situation later on, the additions, the subtractions, the buyout period, and all that. You're going to need this guy to be that good. Lately, he has been that good. I ask you, are you now willing, as we bring it back 2 weeks later, and this is not a tired topic where, oh, Devon doesn't have anything tonight. Oh, yes, I did. But I wanted to bring this back. I'll save the other stuff for next week, and I already know ahead of time what I'm doing next week when it comes to the Sixers and some of the other things that we'll get into. But I wanted to bring it back because he's playing so well. He made the All-Star team again. He deserved the consideration. Whether you believe he or Tobias belonged in there or not, or, you know, over the other one, I thought they both deserved it. I thought Tobias would get it, and Simmons got it. Tobias Harris didn't. It's what it is at this point. Hopefully that motivates Tobias Harris in the second half even more since he was talking about being disrespected as a third star of the big three, quote, that he said for this basketball team. I want to know from you, after speaking about it 2 weeks ago, bring it back again. Are you willing to just let him be him? Are you confident that he's going to continue to be him? And when I say him, this him that is giving you right now 20 points, 8 boards, and 8 assists as they continue to win these games and sit atop the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division with a 22-11 record on the season so far through 33 games with 3 remaining for the first half of the campaign. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli later on at 9:45 will give us the leftovers, something we missed tonight in sports. And he'll let us know what we missed and how dare us miss those things as he brings it to us at 9:45 with the leftovers. We'll take your phone calls. As always, we'll welcome your tweets into the show as well. We are with you until 10 o'clock tonight. 610-632-0975. Are you happy with the difference that you are seeing with Simmons? And are you able to separate those things that you don't like when he has a bad night? Because he keeps having these good nights and they're winning these games. 610-632-0975. It is a Friday night. Hopefully everybody is gearing up for a nice weekend. I know it's going to rain, so everybody just be careful. We need it. Melt the snow with the 55 degrees tomorrow. I'm happy about it. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to some other things as well. Don't worry. We'll go all around in the city with everything. But I did want to start with this one tonight because Mike and Ty and Nat were talking about it. Anthony in the morning show. Everybody was busting it up today talking about Ben Simmons. And I know we want to start off here with Tron in Coatesville because downhill Ben Simmons is happening. But first and foremost, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. And it is on full display for the 76ers right now. 610-632-0975. And I think he's going to keep it up, guys. I told you. I'm not always right. I get a lot of things wrong. When he was averaging 13 points in December, that was only 5 games, so I'm not even tripping on that. But the average overall between December and January was averaging 13 points. 13 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. I said, don't worry. He starts off slow, and then he just goes up. And what did he do? He took a big jump in the month of February with the 9 games, averaging 21 points. Again, boosted from the 42-point performance, but nevertheless, he did it. Let's go to Tron in Coatesville to tip things off for us tonight, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tron?
My man, what's going on? How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. I had to bring this back early, man. I had to bring it back.
Like I told you,
right before the Utah game, I think we was talking, and what was the key to the game. I think I said Ben downhill, aggressive, and you know get that 3-point percentage shooting up. Now, even though they lost, even in that Trailblazers game, like you could see, like, Ben kind of just, I'm not going to say he woke up, but he just turned the page. And if that West Coast trip, I think that was the catalyst.
Ooh, I like it.
Of him turning the page, man, because he just, man, I love it. I love it. And I think with everybody having a specific role and we know what we're looking at night in and night out on the court, it makes the picture a lot clearer for him to do what he has to do. Because Tobias is doing everything he has to do, and Embiid is doing, and all the role players. And it's just a clear picture. It's not like a muddled, you know, thing that we were watching through the process and the Brown, you know, where nobody really knew their role. I think everybody knew their role. Ben is going to continue to grow. And, man, I'm ecstatic, bro. I'm ecstatic. I'm excited.
Yeah, and again, I keep saying, man, I think it's real. And that's the most important thing.
That defense, oh, man, the defense that guy's playing right now, bro. And real quick before I get off, shout out to my Coastville fam, Jamir Brickus, and my man up there at Michigan State, A.J. Hogarth. They killing it, man. They killing it.
For the college, for the basketball
Michigan
team?
State. Yeah, Michigan State in the South, man. Coastville kids killing it, man.
What's his name at Michigan State?
A.J. Hogarth.
A.J., all right, I got to check him out. You know, I love Coastville,
yeah,
man.
I be telling my feet. I be telling my people, like, yo, man, he know the history of Coastville like nobody's business, bro.
So
you think he was from here?
Well, when I went to Lincoln, you know, we had a lot of Coastville guys up in the area.
Yeah, you know, so shout out Shaddy Dad.
Daryl Lewis. Shaddy was there. That's my man. And, you know, we had a couple of guys from up there, and then of course Rip came through a few times because he and Shaddy are so close, and yes, so you know, there's some good people up there, man, some good guys, man, and so yeah, you know,
yo, man, you keep up the good work too, man. That's like, yo, just it's like a pleasure listening to you every chance I get, man. Whether I'm at work, if I get a minute, man, just keep up the good work, bro.
And I appreciate that, Tron. Enjoy the weekend, man. Thanks.
You too.
All right, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Yeah, just quickly, like, Shaddy was, Daryl Lewis, you know, we were cool at Lincoln when we were there back at that time, and he and Rip were close and came up to a couple of the games, and Shaddy would just light up D3 schools. Came from, I think he was at Maryland. No, he wasn't at Maryland Eastern Shore. He was at one of those Maryland schools. D1 schools. It wasn't Maryland Eastern Shore. It was another one. But either way, Shaddy was tough and always been good dude, man. Played overseas for a long time. And I saw him, spoke to him a couple of years ago when he was back over here in the States and doing real good, man. So, yeah, Coastville people, man, I got a lot of love for those guys up there. 610-632-0975 as we talk about Simmons. Just bringing it back for this first hour and discussing, are you willing to just let him be him and let him being him and going out there and just hooping the way he hoops and possibly get a win for the 76ers, who are right now 22-11, half game up on the Brooklyn Nets in the division. And it's going to be tough. Okay. It's going to be tough to hold off Brooklyn. I personally think right now with this team, they still need more. I don't think they can hold off the Brooklyn Nets. I think it's going to be very difficult to hold off the Brooklyn Nets, okay? So with them holding off the Brooklyn Nets as long as they can, they're going to need a little bit of help. And we'll get to that as we get closer to that time. And look, Wednesday is going to be the final game next week. We'll have a few days off until they return when they take on the Chicago Bulls in their first game back. So I'm sure some more things will start to heat up. Every time around All-Star break, which is normally the trade deadline, stuff starts to heat up. Now, everyone's not going to be in Atlanta, so maybe we won't hear as much, but I'm sure we'll hear some things when it comes to trade rumors. We know about the Kyle Lowry part. We can get into that a little bit more as we go on in the show. But right now, this team, they're a good basketball team. Still have to prove a lot, but we can only take them in the moment with what they are. Right now, they're good. And right now, he is a third-time All-Star, Ben Simmons, with what he has been able to do. And right now, I want to ask you, are you willing to let him be him? With the way he is playing, if he keeps this up like this without that jump shot. 610-632-0975. Nate, hang on, my man. We get to you first when we get back. And Dex and Denzel and everybody else that's there. 610-632-0975. We're running with you until 10 on this Friday night. Devon Givens, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
.5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Sixers are 22-11. They sit atop of the Eastern Conference right now, half a game up on the Brooklyn Nets, who trail them right now. And they're on their heels. But the way that Simmons is playing, and despite the fact that he only had 15 points last night, number one, he didn't play in the fourth quarter, as Tasty Cake Don pointed out. He sat out the entire fourth quarter because the game was already in hand. And with that, he only totaled 15 points in three quarters. But it was more of us talking about his defensive performance against Luka Doncic, who is a very good scorer in this league right now. And he made him work for everything last night. And even with those 19 points, he didn't hang all 19 on Simmons. I believe he had like 9 points on Ben Simmons last night, shooting 3 of 9 from the field and 4 or 5 turnovers. So he did his job last night. And that was really the talk of what we discussed last night with the 76ers, was about Ben Simmons. Now, he made the All-Star team this week as a reserve. They announced on Tuesday that he was going to be back in the game, and it was well-deserved. Along with Tobias Harris, he was left off. That's another story. But when we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, asking everyone, how do you feel about what he's doing while they're winning, still not shooting those outside shots that we all want? Were you willing to accept him for what he was in the moment while they're winning and being effective? Well, since then, that was the beginning of the month. They've played a total of 9 games. He's averaging 21 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. He's shooting 73% from the free throw line at this time. All right, 73%, 62% from the field. Now we're in a new month. We're about to get to March. Are you going to let the guy just be who the guy is? Accept him for what he is for the remainder of the season, because they are winning. And he has a different mindset right now while he's out there on the floor. And I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. As a guy who supported him all these years, he has frustrated me like he has frustrated you. It's great to see him playing at the level that he is playing right now. But mainly because they're winning games. So when you win games, what do they always talk about? Certain types of conversations, they cease. They're not going to stop until you see it in the postseason. Pardon me, not the postseason, because in the first round, he's done this before. When you see it in the second round, in the semis, and you see it in the third round, right, in the conference championship, and then hopefully in the finals, then people will really back off. But enjoying it in the moment right now, are you okay with just letting yourself enjoy what he's doing while they are winning? Because they are winning a lot. 610-632-0975. We'll get to Tyler Zuli, get his thoughts on this as well. Right now, we go to Nate and Malvern next on The Fanatic. Nate, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
I just want to say that, you know, I got to be proud of this Sixers team, the way that they've been playing. Because you got Ben Simmons, who's already Defensive Player of the Year candidate, as is. And you got it. And Joel Embiid is playing, you know, MVP caliber and all that stuff, and you know he's probably going to win. And if he doesn't win, well, that's going to be a serious problem. But I got to say that I think Doc is doing a great job with Ben Simmons, because his strategy differs, and he's letting him play his game.
How so? How do you figure it's different?
Well, because we heard from the locker room, apparently, that Brett Brown was giving Ben pressure to shoot the ball, and I know the fans were given a lot of pressure. I know because I listened to listen to Justin's station, and people call in all the time saying he's got to shoot the ball, he's got to shoot three.
Well, he wasn't wrong. He does have to shoot.
He does have to shoot, but he's showing now that he doesn't have to shoot. He can shoot. We know he can, has the possibility to shoot, but we don't need him to shoot right away. Doc's letting him back off and letting him play his game, and that's why he's playing the way he's playing.
Well, look, I've been like this, Nate, like, and I said it already, so I'm kind of just going to go ahead and repeat myself a little bit. It was, like, I want him to shoot just like everyone else, but I would get to a point, Nate, where I would say, okay, he's not going to shoot. All right, do the other things that I want, which is be aggressive, going to the basket, finishing at the rim. Brett Brown asked for that. And also to make your free throws. And he's doing it in a big way right now, Nate, where not many people, while they will say it would be nice if he shoot, right, we want everything, he's doing the other things that make up for the lack of shooting. And it's working.
Yeah, it is working. And I like the aggressiveness that he's putting in the last couple games, these last 8-9 games that he's been playing. He's been playing on a whole different level than we've seen before. Because at the start of the season, it was, you know, the same thing we saw in the regular season last year, where he wasn't always as aggressive and looked to pass first more than finish. And now he's finishing himself and looking to pass later on.
Yeah, he is. And that's the thing, too, Nate. As you know, that's where people get frustrated. Thanks for the call, man, because we've seen it before. That's the key. We've seen it before. Why are we not seeing it a little bit more than what we're seeing at the moment in that time? You know, whatever it is that we're talking about in that moment. And that's the whole point of it, is that you've seen it. And that's why you ask for it a little bit more. But now that he's doing it this way and you see him taking the ball, you know, just going to the basket, absorbing the contact, finishing through players, dunking on them, all of that stuff. Jalen Brunson last night, no guy at Jalen Brunson's size should have a shot against Ben Simmons on the low block. And if they flop, the refs don't call it, Ben's going to get the benefit of that non-call and go to the basket and finish. That's what you do, right? Continue to do it. Keep playing downhill. Keep putting that pressure on them where they have to now make a decision defensively on how to defend you and the rest of the team, because as easy as it is to say, let's just let Ben Simmons go off for a certain number. Well, if he goes off for 42 and Joel Embiid is on the floor, they're probably going to win. Okay? And by the way, you needed 40 from Jordan Clarkson in that same game. You're probably going to win that game. So are you willing to just let Ben be himself as long as they are winning basketball games? 610-632-0975. And by the way, my only caveat in this whole thing is, please don't bring up the playoffs because we are not there just yet. I agree with you. We need to see the same level of intensity and play in the postseason. I agree with you. I'm with you 100%. We are at game number 34 tomorrow night. Game 34 tomorrow night. I don't know what's going to happen in 38 games. I have no idea. So until then, let's talk about the pathway to get to that point and continuing to play at this level and us appreciating what he's doing while they are winning these games, trying to lock down the top seed in the East. 610-632-0975. Dex in Memphis next on the Fanatic. Dex.
Hey, what's up, Devon, my boy?
How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
Likewise, shout out to your show, man. I just want to say, man, look, I want more. I want more out of this team, man.
Mm-hmm.
I do, man. Hey, man, on 32 minutes played last night, 6-for-11 shooting, 15 points, 2 steals, 3-for-5 from the free throw line, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. Come on, man. Kept your boy Luka Doncic in check.
All of that three quarters.
And didn't even play the fourth quarter, set out. And I'm like you, Devon. 2 years ago, when Ben used to have those undersized guards on him in the post, he dribbled down, and looked to pass out
to another shot. I used to be screaming at the television like, Ben, are you serious? Punish the little dude. Punish him. That's what he was doing to Bronson last night. And like Kenny Smith said on the after show, him and Charles Barkley, he said this is a scary Sixers team. Can't no team in the league go small against him and MB because they just going to bag you down and punish you. I want more. I don't know what it's going to take, but we like one more player away, Devon. And I could taste it, man. I could taste it since 83, brother.
Yeah.
I can taste it, yeah, man.
I think they're one player away, and the great part would be the second player that they would get. So they would get two people in my scenario where they add two more players to this team to really put themselves in a nice spot. But I agree with you, man. They just simply, they're a good team right now, and I'm not satisfied either. I like where they are. I like what I see. I think this is sustainable. It's going to be tough to beat Brooklyn, but I definitely, Dex, like where they are. Now we see what the wheeling and dealing would be with Elton Brand and Daryl Morey.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hear it off air. And quietly, all the critics, they always come up with something. He's hitting his free throws. You know, he's just playing downhill. He's getting to the rack. He's looking for his shot. He's getting heels while he's still letting the game come to him. But people, that they can't find nothing wrong with the kid's game. And you know what I always tell people, Devon, they'd be at work. My coworkers, they'd be, man, he can't shoot. He can't shoot. And you know what I tell them with? I said, I bet you it won't be in on your team. Well, who wouldn't? I'd be like, come on, man. Come on, man. Conversation over with. But, hey, man, you take care of, man. I'm going to hang up, man. I love the show, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Dex, as always. Have a great weekend. And that's the thing. You talk about something to look for to complain about. Well, when he's playing like this, there's nothing to complain about. Because he's doing more stuff, and they're winning. And even if he wasn't, right, defensively, if he's able to hold up against these other players, he's not going to shut them down every night. That's impossible. You can't do that. That just doesn't happen. That's why they are elite at what they do. He is an elite defender in this league. And I remember when we would get the calls, and we probably still will, because he will have some off nights, and he'll have those nights where he does the same exact thing that Dex was just talking about, where he'll pass the ball when he probably should take those shots. Is, well, all right, well, he's doing that right now. And again, as we pointed out, let me see him do it in the playoffs. Well, again, let's get through the regular season first and then get to the playoffs. The first half, look at what he's doing. February specifically, he's picking it up when he really needs to pick it up. Now we need to see it in March, April, and May, obviously. And then we'll get to June and July, hopefully, and August as we break down the whole playoffs when it's time to get there. He is playing really good. He is playing really good. And the other part that we would get to is, well, yeah, he's good defensively, but what about everything else? Well, he's doing the everything else. He's doing the everything else. Let's let it all come together while they pick up these W's for this basketball team. 610-632-0975. We head to West Philly. Denzel next on the Fanatic. What's up, my man?
What's up, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Man, this question is bogus. How are you going to put a caveat about the playoffs?
Because we're not there.
What do we play for?
Absolutely. When we get there, we'll say, okay, you gave me all of this in the regular season. Now, this is the point where you have to keep it going.
Devon, the only reason why we play this game or we watch this game is for our team to win a championship.
Of course.
That's the only reason why we're interested in this, to see how they measure up to win a championship. Listen. I'm not a Ben Simmons hater.
I know you're not.
We talked about him multiple times. I'm a ball player.
Plenty, yeah.
Feel me? He's 5 years in the league. When we drafted him, he was supposed to be transcended. I feel like when we talk about Ben Simmons, we're talking about a child learning how to walk. And when we're not talking about a grown man that's been playing basketball since he was five. Like, what are we doing here? Like, he's not shooting the ball. Okay, you say he plays defense. I'm sure you're supposed to know how to play defense. I'm sorry. Not a lot of players are not good at defense. But we still get lit up by a lot of top scorers. Let's not act like he's like some god at defense We get lit up by a lot of top scorers.
Denzel.
Elite guards.
Yeah, a lot of elite guards get lit up in the league because they are that good. And defensive
very
guys also get caught, too.
Devon, since Ben Simmons has been on our team.
Yeah.
Any scorers, we're talking about T.J. Warren, any scorer, Terrence Ross, Jordan Clarkson, well, they could be the sixth man, whoever. If they're a good scorer, they get their career high on the Sixers.
Uh-huh.
That's been a thing. So we're not going to stay
that's,
here. And
that's always his assignment?
If you're the number one, if you think you're the best defensive player on the floor, you don't take a
but
lot
you,
of shots.
Like you said, Denzel, you know that's not always his assignment. Look, when Kemba Walker goes off for 60, right? When he goes off for 60, and I'm going to give you that one because he did that a couple of times where he had the 60, and then I think he almost had another 60 against them. Yeah, something he had. It was crazy. And we know that while he can defend those types of players, he can't do that for 48 minutes because they are that good, and especially when they're smaller like that. That's the versatility of what he's able to do defensively to be that type of defender. That doesn't make him a non-elite. That means that other guys also weren't doing their jobs as their other guard to slow him down.
Got you. I'm not going to get into that more because I don't want to take up all the time with that. We can go on for days about
it. Bro, you know we could, and you know I'll give you extra time, so go ahead.
I'm going to get back to your question. Yes, I need to see more. I have liked what I've seen out of Ben Simmons lately. I have not loved it. And all this simple fact that this is his fifth year in the league, they keep giving him these all-stars. Not saying he don't 100% deserve them, but they keep telling him he's an all-star.
But you can't bring it up then. You can't. Now you're having a caveat to it. You can't do that.
Hey, look,
if he's an all-star, he's an all-star.
I got a caveat. We caveat it.
Yeah,
right
but it's the all-star break. You have to name him if he's an all-star. I'm not putting him on the all-NBA team right now if he doesn't deserve it.
Right. Correct. But what I'm saying is when he came into the league as the number one pick.
All right, but how about this? Did we overvalue that type of player we were asking him to be?
Is he better than Brandon Ingram?
They do different things. You know that. You know that. You can't answer something like that when you're talking about a flat-out scorer and then you're talking about a guy who does all this other stuff.
I'm talking about somebody that improved their game year after year and the guy that still looks like he's at LSU.
All right, well, we disagree. You know we're going to disagree.
All right, but yeah, I need to see. But answer your question, I need to see more out of Ben Simmons.
All right.
Just a little bit more. I need his shots per game to go up. And I want him actually attacking the basket, and I want to see a little, like you said, aggressive Ben Simmons. I want to see more aggressive Ben Simmons. I want him not
because it's the best, right? It's the best.
It is the best, but I feel like he's so scared of how it looks more. So
I agree with you.
It's a mental thing. He's scared of.
That's why I say it, because I'm like, yo, forget all that stuff. Just go do it.
I don't care if you brick it, get the rebound, and dunk it. Do it.
Exactly. Bro, have a great weekend, man.
You too, man.
All right, man. See, this is where it gets so spirited, right? Right, Tyler Zuli? Good evening, man. This is where it gets so spirited. And you heard Denzel. We've been having this conversation for 5 seasons about him from the first time he got there, with what we wanted to see to what we started to see, and then what we got, and we want more. It gets so spirited with him as that unique guy that we talk about.
Well, and I think that the problem is, much like a lot of players when they come into the league and they get that, you know, they get that moniker of either generational or transcendent or compared to another player right away.
And by the way, I never said any of those things.
No,
of
but
transcendent. I know a lot have, and I was just never one of those guys that was going to put that type of label on him or Embiid.
So, and is it not fair to say, though, however, that if you use one of those two terms, or what was the name that consistently came up? He's the next Magic Johnson, right? And as soon as you put a comparison label on a player, regardless of how they fare, regardless of what type of player they are, regardless of their build, their size, their speed, anything, you have put a pedestal that until they reach it, fans will not be happy.
That's why I asked, Denzel, did we ask for too much early on without seeing him in the league
type
of player?
It's fair to ask that, and I think the answer is probably yes.
And we're not saying don't be an all-star because you're the number one pick. You should be an all-star. We're talking about the offensive player that we might have put those expectations on him that we maybe shouldn't have if we paid enough attention. I think it was warranted and it was fair. But where we are right now, yeah, it's tough to sit here year five and say, all right, let's just lay off. It's difficult because we all look at him and say, my man, you're knocking down these jump shots. What's up?
Well, and that's the thing. The demand has to be from a certain aspect. Is it fair to demand certain things? Absolutely.
Of course.
You're a guy with in his fifth year, the number one overall pick, multiple time All-Star. And again, it goes back to what you and I have discussed, and you feel differently than I do. But the moment you put pen to paper and you sign that contract, expectations rise. So it's fair to say all these things. Where you need to kind of direct that criticism is to what you talk about. Be more aggressive at the rim. Be more assertive on the offensive side of the floor. Don't look to be the facilitator all the time. That's where you direct the criticism.
All right, and also Denzel said it was unfair for me to say, let's not talk about the postseason. Again,
no, you have to.
I disagree. We all know the goal is the postseason.
Yes.
I said this after 2 years of winning 50 games last season. I don't want to hear anything else about the 50 games. It's all about the postseason. Do your job and do that. Yo, we got to analyze these games every time they play. We're going to discuss them. The goal is to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and then the NBA Finals. But we're talking about a specific player in a certain way that he is playing to help them win. We want to see, let's be fair if you're going to go there, Embiid needs to have an even better postseason because we have yet to see him do it. But I'm not talking about that because we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We know in order for them to win, they both have to do those things. But what, I mean, us talking about it right now in game number 34?
Well, and that, I get that you're not there yet for the 2021 season. But you do have to look back in the grand scheme of things discussing 2020 and 2019 and 2018 because Boston did it twice and Toronto did it. We saw they walled him off and that was it. And they couldn't do anything. He didn't change his game.
Again, we're not there yet to have an example of the 2021 playoffs of this version of Ben Simmons to say that he didn't do it yet.
No, and that's totally fair. You're right into 2021.
Yes.
But when you're adding this conversation about demands and criticisms and praises and all of that, you have to include that past playoff performance.
I'm not ignoring the past. That's why I'm asking, do you just let him be what he's going to be right now as they are winning games? Because when we get to the playoffs, all bets are off.
Well, then right now, then yes. Right now, yes.
Yes. That's why I keep saying today, right now, as they are winning these games. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 38 games as they wind down the season and get ready for the postseason. I don't know, but I suspect that he's going to keep this level of play up like this. And when we get to game one on March the 10th against the Chicago Bulls, then we'll have that conversation. Because what I'm going to say is, well, Ben, in the other previous times that you've played in the first round, you've put it on the Miami Heat and you've put it on the Brooklyn Nets. Go do it again against the Chicago Bulls team that has no business out there on the floor with you. And if you don't do it, I am going to destroy you on the air. And if you advance like you should, even though, right, Embiid had a great series, Tobias Harris the same thing, because both of them also have to have good playoffs as well. When we get to that next round, that's when we talk about, okay, all right, here we go. Here we go. And then we'll see what happens. We're not there yet. I don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But what I think he's going to do is go out there and post a triple-double against that Cleveland team. That's what I think. 610-632-0975. Let's keep the conversation rolling. Is it time to, and I love talking to Denzel all the time. See, this is when I would love being able, in our old world, I would say, you know what? Come on in the studio. You get an hour. Let's do it. But we can't do that right now. Because like Denzel pointed out, well, you know, that would take a long time for us to have this discussion. But when we open stuff up, you better believe I'm going to talk to Chuck, our boss, and I'll be like, Chuck, we got to bring these folks in here because I can't take it. This 2 minutes even though I extend it and sometimes get in trouble. It's because I love you guys. I'll get yelled at for you. 610-632-0975. We come right back. We take this quick break. We get right back at it. One open phone line here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers, and you're listening to Devon Givens on your home for 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Tell him, Ben. Tell him again. 610-632-0975. Sixers Cavs tomorrow. 7 o'clock tip right here on 7 o'clock or 7:30 against the Cavs tomorrow. 7 o'clock tomorrow right here on The Fanatic. So make sure you're listening here on The Fanatic tomorrow as well. Is it tomorrow or next week? For you, Tyler.
For this weekend?
Yeah.
All right, so this weekend I'll be on 6 to 8 Sunday morning.
Okay, all right.
And then next weekend we have a little bit of a schedule change.
A little schedule change.
Yeah.
All right, you can tell them next week. All right, cool. But I just wanted to make sure I got that in just in case. But
well, thank you.
Of course, that's Tyler Zuli. 610-632-0975. As we talk about the Simmons thing, it's always a weird conversation when it comes to them. They are 22-11. He has been fantastic over the last couple of weeks, the month. He also just made another all-star team, his third consecutive game. And good conversation with my man Denzel from West Philly about Ben Simmons. And real quick, before we get to Kevin next and Harv and Moan and Jack, and we actually had two people drop off if you wanted to jump in, 610-632-0975. Jamie and I had a quick couple of minute conversation about the franchise player and the superstar thing, where I said a couple of years ago when I did a show, I remember this specifically because it was the Isaiah Thomas, Boston Celtics Isaiah Thomas, the MVP candidate Isaiah Thomas, being traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Kyrie Irving. And I remember having a conversation, and I even had to pull my cousin into this one because he's a Celtics fan, which I hate, but it is what it is, right? And we were talking about it, and I'm like, yo, he's not a franchise player. He's a star player in this game, but he's not a franchise player. And we were having that conversation. Like I said, it was loaded that night because we were talking about all these names and obviously Curry and Durant and LeBron and Anthony Davis, Chris Paul around that time 4 years ago. And we're going back and forth of who's a franchise player, who's not, who's a star player, who's a superstar, and what the meaning of those terms are when it comes to sports. And specifically we were talking about basketball. If I looked, guys, and we were to do this again and we started to talk about the star players in this league, the superstar players in this league, and the franchise players in this league, we will be having a fun conversation. And quickly, Tyler, before we get to Kev here, you said franchise player doesn't mean superstar player.
Correct. Explain. So I think that I look at that a little bit differently.
Now, let's talk about basketball only. Not baseball, football,
none of
that. All right.
Hockey. I think that I look at that a little bit differently than you do. I think that every team, not every team has a franchise player, but every team could have a franchise player based on the fact that it's describing that particular team. So in theory, if the league were at its best and there was like the most spread out distribution of talent throughout the entirety of the league, there could be 30 NBA franchise players. There are not 30 superstars.
If they were dispersed that way.
Yes, right. If
James Harden and Kevin Durant were not on the same team.
Correct. There could be, and Kyrie Irving could be a franchise player on a different team. So in theory, there could be 30 franchise players.
No, he couldn't.
There are not 30 superstars.
No, you can't be a 30 franchise players. No,
yeah,
you
I
can't.
Think you can.
I don't think so. Because like I said, Kyrie Irving being traded to Boston, he was the best player on the team, but that didn't make him the franchise player. You can have that label and say, all right, well, he's the best player. He's the franchise right now. That doesn't mean that he is the franchise player. That just means he's the best player of the 15 that you have on your roster.
Correct.
Now 17. But the best player there. That doesn't mean he's the franchise player. A franchise player is Kevin Durant. A franchise player is LeBron James. You are not doing anything to those guys. They make all the choices there.
I think so.
That's how good they are.
So you value franchise player more than superstar? Like if you were going to
in terms of winning,
in terms of like giving them a grade.
It's how you build around said player, right? How are you going to build around that player?
Yeah, this
is
fair.
This is my friend. Joel Embiid is a franchise player.
He's also a superstar,
and he's a superstar. Ben Simmons, I don't think he's a franchise player.
I think he could be somewhere else,
and I don't think he's a superstar.
He's
not
a
star player. I think he's a star player in this league,
but
he's not a superstar.
I think he could be a franchise player somewhere.
Embiid is a franchise player.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure.
Are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown franchise players?
Yeah, one of them can be.
Which one?
Probably Jason Tatum.
Could be.
Yeah.
Not right now.
No, because they share the productivity.
So do Simmons and Embiid.
I don't agree with that. I don't think it's an equal distribution like it is in Boston.
I think Jason Tatum is the better player.
No, I agree.
I think Tatum and Brown, though, can get on equal footing because of how good of a two-way guy Jaylen Brown is, even though Tatum has improved his defense as his career has gone on. Like, look, I'll give you two, and then we're going to come to Kev. I love this discussion when we have this talk, but let's go to Utah with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. I think they are both star players. I don't look at them as franchise players. It's about how now you build around them. Can you win a title with, you know how you look at it, can you win a title with Donovan Mitchell being your best player?
Yes.
Does that make him a franchise player?
Yes, I think it does.
They have a good chance to win the title this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the Utah Jazz's franchise player.
Okay, that's it. Done. The Denver Nuggets. Jokic and Murray. I think Jokic is a franchise player.
Yes. But so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that like Murray is... So for me, the reason that I say there are more franchise players than there are superstars is because... A superstar to me, I kind of agree closer to what Bob discusses with superstar, where there's only maybe, you could probably count the superstars on one hand.
I agree, just like I think you can only count franchise players on one hand.
But there's like, there's depth of franchise success, right? Because like, you take a look at the Timberwolves, who are the historically the worst franchise in the NBA's history.
Mm-hmm.
You could put somebody like Jamal Murray or Kyrie Irving, who you don't think are franchise players, on that team, and they're immediately franchise players.
They're the best player.
You would build around them, though.
Like I said, but like I said, Kyrie Irving got traded to Boston. While we felt like they were going to be a better team, I still didn't think he was a franchise level player. He was the best player. He was a superstar level player. No, I didn't even think he was. And forget about like the endorsements and all that other stuff that goes with it that puts you on this different level, the different plateau. I didn't think he was a franchise player when that trade was made. And I still don't think he's a franchise player. Kevin Durant is a franchise player.
I would agree with that. But like I said...
But like you just said, if you put Kyrie Irving on Minnesota, that makes him the best. It doesn't make him the franchise player just because he's the best on that franchise at that moment. You got to carry that. Can you carry that team to a deep run in the postseason? Can you carry that team to a finals appearance and do that stuff? Then we have a conversation.
That's a superstar.
Okay.
That's where you start talking about
have to do it, too, in order for us to say that they did it to put them on that in that category.
You know, I think it's kind of funny, Devon, that you and I feel like you and I are like coming to the same conclusion by reversing the roles. By basically, like, your definition of franchise player, to me, is a definition of superstar.
And like we said, both of us agree that you can count them on one hand or maybe two hands,
right,
and that's it. 610-632-0975. Got off on a little quick veer off there. But, yeah, I just, you know, and I see, I can't wait to talk to Jay about this, who thinks Ben Simmons is a franchise player. All right, Kevin in Newcastle County. What's up, Kev?
Hey, look here, man. Just like you was talking about Kyrie. Kyrie had his opportunity before LeBron got there. How good did Cleveland look?
They weren't good. That's why they brought LeBron back.
Exactly. You understand what I'm saying? I agree with you, DeVar. Just like that year Toronto won the championship. The only, like Butler. Butler was a star. The only superstar through that series, and he showed them, was Kawhi.
Yep.
On the East Coast. You know what I mean? It's only certain players that superstar. Just like with Michael Jordan and Pippen. I say Pippen was a star. He ain't no superstar.
Nope.
When Mike left and he went to Portland and all, you remember he choked against the Lakers and everything. So everybody can't have that label as far as superstar. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we went through the 30 teams and we laid them out during your phone call, Kev.
Right.
And I threw it at you. We would not come up with 10, maybe 12 franchise players, maybe.
And you know what, too, Devon? Everybody can't handle that label superstar. Like Ben's a star. You understand?
I agree.
My whole thing is this, man. Now I'm going to tell you what helped Embiid. I think, personally, him having that baby, it helped mature him. Because when I'm 23, 24, I did some silly things, this, mm-hmm. that, the other. But when you lay out and you have children, it helped mature you. Now it's letting them know, I got to come in shape. All of these different things. Just like last night, Ben Simmons said, Doc holds them accountable. Not one time did any of them say that about Brett Brown. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what turned Ben around, I think, also is, having those trade rumors, like, yo, you know, now I really gotta step my game up. They really talking about for real getting rid of me. You understand what I'm saying? And so everybody's not a superstar. They're just not. Everybody can't handle that. So when Kyrie came out number one in the draft, I mean, Cleveland was garbage. And then when he goes to Boston, he was hurt, and Rozier and them, they did better without him. You understand? Just like he took a leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie's a hell of a talent, man. Don't take that one. But mentally, it's something wrong with the young boy.
Yeah, he's different. He definitely is. Yep, he definitely is. All right, what do you have on Ben, Kev?
Oh, well, right now.
For the conversation about him being him.
Yeah, no, I loved it because I watched you that day when you came in early and you took my alley seat and you sat down and you talked about Mike still don't want to budge on it. But the same token, Devon, being as though you put it to me like that, I said, you know what? You know what I mean? I gotta go with that. And last but not least, I want, like you said, you want to sit down and talk to folks. I just want to say 2 years ago when they did the show at the Reading Terminal, Ant let me be on the air with him, mm-hmm. and Jason Vaught. I got my little 15 minutes of fame, man. So everything was cool, man. You guys have a great evening, man. Always good talking to you.
You too, Kev. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, when all this stuff clears back up and we're allowed to have people, yeah, who come in, you know, have the sit-ins and people come in, sit down, have a conversation with us. If we couldn't have you on the air, we made sure you sat right there at the couch. The glass is the full wall and you can look right, you know, right while we're doing the show. So hopefully we get back to those things sooner rather than later. And we've already had some things, I'm sure Tyler will get to it later, with the openings of the Wells Fargo Center for Sixers games, the center, and Wells Fargo for the Flyers. And that'll be fun just to have people back in there. And Joel Embiid doesn't have to react to an imaginary crowd anymore after a big play. 610-632-0975. Moan, Uptown. What up, Moan?
Yo, what's up, Devon?
What's up, man?
Hey, great. I wasn't expecting to be on so soon, man.
It's all good.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Look, that was an intriguing conversation, man, with the franchise and the superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben's a star. He's not there yet, but we know what that is for him to get there.
Right.
But the way he's at right now, man, I'm going to just let him be because I'm happy with where he is right now. The young boy from West,
Denzel. Yeah.
When he was saying, you know, he was trying to interpret the dribble drives like the Chris Pauls and Devin Booker's, how all these guards are happening to score all these points against us. Well, that's not a Ben Simmons problem. That's a team defense problem, you know, and that's something that that's what we corrected. But you got to give him props when you got to give him his props because, you know, early in the year, brother, I was right there with you. I was like, yo, we got to get – he got to go. He got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But allowing him to be himself is one, and he's showing it. But I think people tend to overlook the importance of a coaching staff. And when you can look at somebody, like I said, you're being held accountable, but you're being put to the – you're putting your feet to the fire and telling you. And for you to be the superstar in the eyes of everybody else, you have to do it and not just do it in your mind. Because Ben has been doing it his way, kind of like – in some regard, I mean, that comes with the accountability. But him being where he's at right now, he's helping the team in other ways to win. And the biggest is that confidence, man. You can see how he's more confident. That free throw shooting now, when he goes to the free throw line, or even when he goes to the hole, is there. The making the move, the jump hook that he's incorporated within his offense.
And he had that already. He's just doing it more with confidence.
He's doing more with, exactly. That's, again, the confidence. And that coach, that whatever it is more with confidence. Because, like, say, self-esteem is the greatest thing in the world, bro. If you got some of that, you could do anything. And his confidence is bringing him there. He's not worrying about what's happening around. He's making his team better. He can be that superstar franchise player if he continues on the path where he's at. And the comparisons that came on early with the Magics and being like Magic, you know, he didn't fall into that trap of what Lonzo Ball fell in. His career, he's going to be a continued role player throughout his career. We put these comparisons and these labels on him way earlier than what they should.
And when he came in with that type of label or the comparison that you talk of, then it switched to Rondo and then Jason Kidd and all these other types of players.
Yeah, yeah, it just got that.
It's like, you know
what?
Let him be Ben Simmons.
Yeah, just let him be Ben Simmons. And let us benefit from the best of Ben Simmons that we can get. But it's coming, man, because I'm seeing a lot. I'm really happy as a fan, as a Sixers fan, to see where he's at now and to continue to. And I don't see it letting up. I see it just getting stronger and progressing. And then when we get to that point that we're not going to talk about, then we're going to find out what it is. But in my heart of hearts, what I'm seeing, my eyes are seeing it, it's not going to be that much of it. It'll be an issue, but he's not going to allow it to conquer him this time around. I'm feeling that. You put it on there, February 26th. Mark that day. I said it. Moan said it.
You got it, Mo.
He ain't going to do it.
All right, man. All right? Thanks, man.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend, man. 610-632-0975. That guy, you perked up a little bit there.
That's confidence. That's a lot of confidence. But he's right. Once you have it, it's dangerous.
Very. Very. And he just has that look in his eye right now.
Well, it goes back to what Tyrone tweeted, you know, yesterday. This is different. I think that this is, you know, and when I was, you know, back and forth with you about you have to include the playoffs, that is not a disparaging remark about Ben Simmons. That was just an encapsulation of everything. But to be totally transparent about all of this, this is a different Ben Simmons than we've seen in years past.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. There's something different to him. And that's why we're sitting here tonight having this conversation until 10 o'clock. Of course, we'll mix in some other things. 610-632-0975, 945, The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. Next up, we go to Germantown with Harvey on the Fanatic. Harv.
Yo.
What's up?
How you doing, Devine?
Good, man. How you doing?
Another bang-up show as usual. The future looks bright.
Thank you, my man.
Future looks very bright.
Thank
hey,
you.
Look. I'm an apologist. You know, I'm probably just as much a Ben Simmons fan as you, but I had almost sold him down the river about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
James I'm Harden, huh?
I'm loving what I'm seeing right now.
Sure.
The brother before me took a lot of thunder from me. I'm seeing a lot of confidence. Like you say, he just looks different. He's doing some things that I had wanted him to do. He's starting to do them now. And I mean, anytime you can shoot as well with your left or right hand and he's taking them down to the post, you saw what he did to the boy from Temple last night. He just abused him. I mean,
from Villanova, you mean?
No, the boy from Temple, Brunson.
Yeah, Villanova.
Yeah. Yeah, Villanova. Yeah, yeah. His father was from Temple.
Yeah.
But I'm from the old school. I believe if you have a size and a weight advantage, use it. And in some cases, just abuse it. Abuse them if you have to. And that's what I'm starting to see out of Ben and JoJo. I like that. I love what I'm seeing.
No, they've both been tremendous. Obviously, yeah. MVP for Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons just turning it up. Gets back into the All-Star game. And when you do this and you put this type of performance on hard for a long period of time, we expect, it just like you do and the coaches do, to keep this thing rolling exactly how we're seeing it.
Yeah, and I think coaching has a lot to do with it. They got a staff of coaching that I think is encouraging these guys, and Dwight Howard is Dwight Howard, Sam Cassell, Doc. I mean, it all helps.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a couple more questions, and I'm going to let you go because I know you're busy. You're doing a bang-up show, all you young guys. But what is your definition of a franchise? Because to me, I don't see, as much as I love Ben and JoJo, I don't call either one of them franchise players because they haven't done it for a long enough period of time. Now, once I see either one of them or both of them do it for like a year or 2 years, then I can put that label on them. But they have to show me they can do it over a length of time, which I'm seeing it now, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. But you got to show me. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me that you can do it over a period of time.
Okay, you got it, Harv. Thanks for the call. Okay. Appreciate the kind words, man. Have a great weekend. And we're almost up against the break, so maybe, because you know it's going to take a little bit longer to answer that question as far as the franchise, and then we'll get Tyler's thoughts. And Jay wants to talk about Simmons being a franchise player, L in North Philly, superstar, versus franchise player Ed in South Philly, and the others that are here. We see you, and we do have a few open lines if you want to check in, 610-632-0975. So we will answer that question when we do return. Again, 610-632-0975. The explanation of what is a franchise player. If you didn't hear, Tyler and I were going back and forth because I was talking to Jamie a little bit earlier about franchise players versus superstar players versus star players in the NBA and how little of them I think there are in the league. And we'll get into it because I think there's one that's also very young that I do believe is a franchise player. And I'll mention that when we get back on the other side to talk about what Harvey just mentioned. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens until 10 o'clock on this Friday night. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I mean, you guys know you can hoop, you can hoop. My IQ, I feel like it's very high. I try to make the right plays every time down the court. You know, it's a mismatch nearly every time when I step on the floor. So, you know, I'm trying to make my teammates better. I'm trying to be the best point guard I can be and lead this team the right way. And then defensively, I feel like that's just effort. I do feel like I'm the best defensive player in the league. You know, I can guard 1-5.
Ben Simmons last night on TNT following the victory over the Dallas Mavericks after he shut down Luka Doncic. When they did match up, of course, he was trying to get him off him all of the time and did not have a good night. 610-632-0975. Also, he said be the best point guard he can be for the team. That's where he also gets himself in a little bit of trouble because 1 minute he'll say, I'm a basketball player. And you know I say that. He's a basketball player. I don't think he's one of those positionless guys because he can do all those things. Defensively, obviously, 1-5. But then, you know, he's just a basketball player. He doesn't have to be the point guard for the team. Yes, he's the main facilitator and the main ball handler. I don't know that he's a point guard as much as we want to call him that. He's just flat out a basketball player overall. All right, franchise player. that Harv was asking about. Franchise player for me, obviously, is the guy who, number one, we know he's the face. That's right, Ty? We agree on that. He's the face. That's what it is. All right. He's the face. But he's also the one that you can build around and have the comfortable feeling that this is the guy that you build around where it's not going to take away from who he is. It's only going to help and enhance who he is. And that guy, even with that help, has the potential to carry you to the mountaintop in your particular sport. In this case, when we talk about Embiid, I think Embiid, his talent overall with his offensive game and his defensive game puts him in that franchise player category. Even though Harv said they haven't done enough, I've seen enough of Embiid, albeit sometimes inconsistent. I've seen enough consistency in him where I still want to see the health and the conditioning and all of that. He can't control the health, but the conditioning, that's up to him and how he makes his body out to be what it needs to be in order to get through the rigors of a 82-game NBA season, this season 72. He is a franchise player because I think that he can put the team on his back, carry them to the mountaintop, do all those things that he can do offensively, but also affect the game defensively and still not take away from others. But you have to build around them to win because that guy is so good that you can win that game, that playoff series, that championship with him as your main guy. Yes, you can have a number two, but even with that number two is your number two. He's the superstar, or he might only be a star player. I think Embiid is a superstar-level player and a franchise player with Ben Simmons, and I can't wait to talk to Jay in a second. Jay, as much as I love Simmons, I don't think he's that player yet. Should he have his own team to run to see if he's that guy? Quite possibly. But I don't think he's there. Now, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it. But I also look at him because this is all we have with this squad. I think he is a star player, hands down, but not a superstar player and not a franchise player in this sense. Tyler, what is your definition of a franchise player?
So my definition of a franchise player is someone that can elevate a franchise from the current state that they are in, period. Doesn't necessarily have to mean to playoff contention, doesn't necessarily have to mean to NBA finals titles and all of that. Because when you take a look at, and I know I used the Timberwolves as an example earlier in the show, but I think that Kevin Garnett might be the perfect example of it because Kevin Garnett was a franchise player for the Timberwolves.
I agree.
Who elevated them. They never won the title. They never even played in an NBA finals. But without Kevin Garnett, even that 2005 team that was a lot of fun to watch, with, you know, Sprewell and Cassell and all of that, they're not nearly as good without Kevin Garnett.
You mean the team?
The team.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, because individually, they were all stars.
No. Okay. I mean, the team, Timberwolves team was not nearly as good without Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
He's a franchise player on that team. Now, Kevin Garnett might be a bad example because he's probably a franchise player on most teams. But you have to look at what you're elevating when you get there to the time that you either exit, retire, whatever, your contract runs out. Did you elevate that team?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I look at, you know, if Kyrie Irving were to go to a team like the Timberwolves or a team like, let's say, Houston right now, who's not playing very well. If Kyrie Irving was put on that Houston Rockets team, he'd make them better.
He'd make them better, yeah.
But I think substantially better.
But so that to your definition, he would be the franchise player.
Yes.
I don't. Yeah, I don't. And I say that because, again, you look at said player, and we have an example of that player in doing stuff. Now, you can still be the franchise player 7 years later, even if you've changed squads, because something clicked for you. But I just don't look at Kyrie Irving as that guy, to your example. I just don't. I think he'll go in there and be the best player. He'll make them better. But at the end of the day, it's about winning.
So then I'll throw this example out. And you're never going to get a fair 100% comparison because Franchises are different. Players are different. The year Steve Nash won MVP.
Uh-huh.
Was Steve Nash their franchise player?
Suns. That's a good one.
Because they were good.
They were really good.
And he was the...
He was the MVP.
The MVP, back the facilitator back. Of that team. But, like, I look at that
team. I never looked at him as a franchise player.
Okay. So, because I look at that team and
Dirk
I say...
Dirk was a franchise player.
If you were to put Steve Nash on that team, or you were to put Kyrie Irving on that team,
that
from a
team.
Talent perspective, uh-huh. Kyrie makes them better than what Steve Nash did. But they were great.
But they do, and that's where we get to the comparisons of certain types of players, because I think they do things differently.
Yeah, of course they do. But if you want to talk about elevating a franchise, I think that Kyrie gives you another scorer. Probably a better defender.
All right. Okay. I mean, look, when we talked about this before, and I had a great time that evening a couple of years ago when we talked about this. It was just flat out fun to talk about it. Just look at how we all look at things differently, where players are, who does what. And I love Ben Simmons. I just don't think right now he's a franchise player. Has he changed the face to what you're talking about? Yeah, he changed it with Embiid. You go to what LeBron, clearly, franchise player. Dwayne Wade, yes, franchise player. Even though Chris Bosh was the best player for that organization in Toronto before he got to Miami, was he the franchise player?
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah.
He changed things. Like you said, he brought them from, you know, he basically just took over what Vince Carter left.
Okay, I think, you're probably right. Maybe that's a bad choice.
No, it's not a bad choice. It's not a bad choice. It's just, that's a great choice to what we're talking about and how you view a certain player.
The one stat that, and I know that it doesn't exactly correlate to the NBA as it does to baseball, but the one stat that is consistently used in baseball more than any other sport is WAR, right? Mm-hmm. Wins above replacement. That is how I dictate who is a franchise player. If your WAR would be substantial, you're a franchise player. Doesn't make you a superstar, though.
Yeah, see, I remember having this conversation too. And all right, Jay, we're coming to you, man. I'm sorry. I love talking about this. I was thinking about, I was just looking at a highlight from Kawhi Leonard, who's you agree? Franchise player?
Yes.
Carried that team.
Correct.
Kyle and Van Vliet and Pat, everybody did their part. But he elevated himself into a franchise player when he wasn't that before in San Antonio, right? Even though they were going to turn the franchise over to him when the others started to age and they weren't able to do what they used to do. I remember the Indiana Paul George, where I looked at him and I'm like, yo, that dude is a franchise player. Not anymore. You agree with that? Not anymore. Kawhi, yes. Paul George,
no. On that team or in general?
At that time, I thought that's where he was heading. He was clearly the best player. But I thought, I'm like, yo, this dude is, they're good. They're gonna be fine. And it changed. Now, look, he went to Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, and they did what they did. He had an MVP-level season with what he was doing. But I don't, like, Paul George is super talented. You can say Paul George is a superstar player if you want. Does that make him a franchise player? Karl Anthony Towns, you said changed the Minnesota Timberwolves. He changed the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is he a franchise player, though? They stink again.
Yeah, I can't say yes. I can't.
That's where the whole weird part comes. 610-632-0975. All right, I've ran my mouth enough. Let's go to Jay in Roxborough next on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on, man?
Yeah, well, you know, and the more you guys are talking about this, the more I said, you know what? We can argue all day about what's franchise and what's superstar, you know, because they're not really real terms. You know, they're not definition terms, superstar player, franchise player. These are things that we create, you know, as people, as fans and things like that. So that's why it's hard to nail down and say whether this guy is a franchise or superstar, you know, because when I think of superstar, you know, I think of guys, you know, in the 70s who may not have won anything or took their team anywhere. You know, guys like Iceman, George Gervin.
Right.
You know, he was a superstar, you know, because people knew what he was, and he was a famous person, you know. So the superstar has nothing to do with
but he also
what you
backed
actually
it,
do on the court.
But he also backed it up on the court.
Yeah, but the thing is, like Dennis Rodman, superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He backed it up on the court by rebounding, you know,
but then he had the off-the-court persona where it really elevated him into something totally different in society.
Yeah, he became that. He wasn't with that like that at Detroit, you know. But once he started changing his hair color and putting on dresses, you know, now he became a superstar in people's eyes, you know.
But was he a superstar player versus just being a superstar celebrity?
His good play.
You know what I'm saying? The great play started it. Like you said, and then the other stuff took it to another level. So that doesn't really correlate with what he was doing on the floor. That was just, all right, this is my pathway. This is how I'm going to open that door. The door is now open. And I'm adding this to what my name is, my brand. You know how we say it now, the brand and all that. Now my brand is this. Kyrie Irving, when we talk about the superstar thing and all that and the franchise player, Kyrie Irving is a super famous person because of obviously his basketball play, but then he has this great sneaker that everybody loves. The kids love him. He's a fantastic player. That now goes there. He gets into the movies and, you know, all that stuff. His sneaker line, his clothing apparel is fantastic with Nike. That boosts him to a whole nother level. This doesn't make him a franchise player, though. It does make him kind of like a superstar as far as what he's viewed as. But on the floor, I still think he's an exceptionally good, really good basketball player.
Now, here's how I define franchise player. This is the guy that, I know it's two different sports, you know, but Peyton Manning was a superstar player because he was drafted to be the centerpiece.
Yes.
Tom Brady was a six-round pick. He wasn't drafted to be the centerpiece, but he ended up becoming, you know, what he became.
The franchise.
So the franchise is that guy that when he's in college or LeBron when he was in high school, Kevin Garnett, you mentioned, in high school, Allen Iverson,
franchise.
You know, coming out.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are people that, you know, were looked at. And Ben Simmons is that same guy because he was drafted number one and he was drafted as a centerpiece, you know, to get everything else started with other players. Now, does Ben Simmons make, here's that real quick. The other thing is that this other thing I don't like is make players better. I think that thing has been blown out of proportion. I know that they used to say that Michael Jordan and Kobe made people better. I don't believe that they made anybody better vocally or by motivation. They made people better because
of their play.
They were great players. And they basically bullied and forced guys to do what they felt like they should be doing. Whereas LeBron is somebody that I would call somebody that makes somebody better. John Stockton made people better, if you want to use that term. But Kobe and Mike, those guys, you got brainwashed because they were so great at what they did. They didn't make anybody better. It's just that they bullied. Basically bully people into playing a certain way.
They were feared, huh? They were feared about how they went. Hey, Jay, man, great stuff, man. Thanks for the call. But you see how this thing can go in all types of directions, right, Jay? With how people feel. Thanks for the call, man, in this whole thing. You know, as he was talking about that and he was saying it, and we're about to get to L and Mo and Ed and everybody else. You know, we got three open phone lines. Some people were there and then they dropped off. They wanted to talk about this and Simmons and how he's playing right now and just letting him be him. The ultimate of this is perfect. Steve Francis, who was dubbed Stevie Franchise. They thought he was going to be the franchise and then he wasn't. He was an all-star. He was an all-league player. But he never turned into the franchise guy that they want. And on the flip, like Jay was talking about, Peyton Manning was supposed to be that, and he always was the entire time. He lived up to it. Brady was supposed to be a shot in the arm, a shot in the dark, and he turned out to be the ultimate franchise guy. Stevie franchise.
Yeah, I mean, there's no like definitive answer as to what makes you, can make you, or keeps you a franchise player. I guess if you're going to give like an umbrella definition, that I guess is where you and I guess differ, because of the fact that, like I said, I will only look at, you know, for the time being, do you make the franchise better? And franchise player means different, a different thing to different teams.
And a lot of players do make franchises better. Ben Simmons makes his franchise better. But we agree that he's not the franchise player.
Correct, because he is not the guy on the team.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons
is a central figure. He is the second guy to what Embiid is as a franchise.
Right.
And you hope that he's there for many, many years and they win many, many championships.
So for me, Ben Simmons would be a franchise player on
the Sacramento Kings.
Probably 20 different teams at least. I mean, we're talking about like Brooklyn, no. The Lakers, no. The Clippers, no. Those three right off the bat, they're the easy ones to think about.
Milwaukee.
No. Milwaukee, no.
No.
So that's four.
Yep. So you got Toronto, New York, who you can look at Kyle Lowry and is, you know, and look at him and say, number one, he's the best player in their history with his longevity, the individual accolades, and then the fact that they won the title. Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, Damon Stoudemire, Marcus Camby, all these players. At the end of the day, Kyle Lowry is probably going to go down as the best Raptor of all time until someone surpasses him. And that's what we mean by, when we look at him, do we say he's the franchise player, or is he more the face of the franchise?
I don't know if face of the franchise means,
but you know what
anything
I mean.
Production wise.
But you know what I mean, right? He's the face of the franchise.
Yeah, but if Ben Simmons goes to Toronto, there's no way at this point he's not better than Kyle Lowry by a lot.
Well, yeah.
So he'd be the franchise player.
Okay. Does that mean right now, if you feel like Van Vliet is a better player? I don't think he's going to carry a franchise.
No, and again, I don't think it comes down to carrying it for that superstar.
All right.
Carrying the franchise is a superstar. Joel Embiid could be the superstar. The Ben Simmons right now can't.
Actually, I think he could be a superstar with this team. He just hasn't gotten there yet.
With Embiid or without Embiid?
With him. But this is why.
Carry two superstars on one roster?
Yeah. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Shaq and Kobe. Yeah.
So I guess the question then, like Shaq and Kobe's, yes, of course.
Dwayne Wade was a superstar.
Was he still a superstar at that
Absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely. What he did was he handed it over to LeBron because he was the alpha of the superstars. Yes.
So he wasn't just a star?
No, not.
Which
no.
is not a knock. It's not a disparaging title.
No, he wasn't. No.
Okay.
No, not in my opinion. L in North Philly. What's up, L?
Yo, man, I've been screaming at the phone.
Well, go ahead. Scream now to everybody.
See, to me, the problem comes in with the turns. They become cliche to the point that they're watered down and they don't mean anything. Franchise player, star, superstar, that doesn't mean anything. Whoever you're talking to, everybody you ask is given a different definition for those words.
Right.
So, like, what I do is I boil it down to on the court. Are you able to be the best player on a championship team? And then I categorize it from there. LeBron James is what? 4-1s in the league. LeBron James, Steph Curry, oh my God, the Clippers guy.
Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant.
Exactly, Kevin Durant. They're the four number ones proven in the league.
We're talking like tiers here, basically.
Exactly. Now, we can speculate, like, I believe Joel Embiid is a number one, but he hasn't proven it yet. He has to prove it. Kyrie is a proven number two. If he wants to be a number one, he has to prove it. He doesn't have a shot now because KD and Harden are better than him on his own team, and he won't be the best player on that team if they win it. So he's still in the number two category. And for me, that's it. It's ones, twos, threes, and everybody else. Draymond Green is the number three. It's proven. Steph Curry is number one. He's proven he was the best player on the championship team. To me, we confuse it when we take all of these terms and we allow everybody to define what they are. Now, it's speculative. Now, it's the other players that you can speculate about. Like, we can argue all day. Well, I think JoJo is a one, but I think Ben, honestly, is a three. I accept him for what he is. I don't expect him to be a one because I see the limitations in his game. And to bring it full circle, I can allow Ben to be what he is. I just don't believe in him. I just don't believe he's the second best player on the championship team. I believe the Sixers have to get another player. They have to get that number two, that legit number two, who's dynamic on the wing because of the way the team's built. Cause you got JoJo on the inside. He's your best scorer. You gotta have a wing scoring threat that can get his bucket anytime he wants. And to me, that's not Ben Simmons, and that's why I put him in a three category. Now, he could prove me wrong. If they go along this year and they win it, and Ben Simmons, he's a two. He proved it. But until then, I got to see it. And for me, that's how I kind of break it down. It's levels to this thing.
And that's why we have these conversations, L. Right?
Yeah, pretty much, and it's like...
Well, I hope,
like,
it's been a good conversation, at least a good listen, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all made me pull over, man. I was driving, y'all literally made me pull over. I was like, yo, man, I got to get in on this. I got to.
Yeah. Now, look, and as you said, you'll let him be him at this point. Before we let you go, Al, what are you, as you've seen this team right now elevate their play, 22-11, top of the East, half a game up on Brooklyn, it's going to be a tough road in the second half. What are you expecting from this team the remainder of the season and, of course, trying to get to the title?
They've actually exceeded my expectations. Now my expectation is for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think they're good enough to beat Brooklyn. And even if they get to the finals, I don't think they're good enough to beat the teams out west. I still think they need somebody, like I said. But to get the player that I think they need, it's going to have to be a big change. They're going to have to get rid of Tobias Harris or Ben or somebody else because they really need that dynamic wing scorer. Right now, I wouldn't get rid of Ben in the beginning of the season. I can't lie. I was advocating. If y'all want to get rid of him, go ahead. But now he's elevated his play a little bit. I still think he's a number three on a championship team. I think the Sixers are in search of a number two. They need that dynamic wing scorer. Oh, and Kyle Lowry, he's not it.
Got you. L, have a great weekend, man.
You too, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. We'll pick that up when we get back. Ed wants to talk about Simmons, Mo, franchise, and superstar. And we got a couple open phone lines. 610-632-0975. We kind of went into a different direction, but it's been a fun conversation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it and can add to it as well as we go until 10. 9 o'clock hour upcoming. 610-632-0975. I'm Devine Givens. That's Tyler Zuli, 945. The Leftovers here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devine Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic, here on this Friday night. Hopefully you're all having a good one and get to enjoy the warm weather as it warms up a little bit, melt the snow, but you get a lot of rain. But it's okay. I think the most important part is to get rid of the snow, and we'll all be good. 9 o'clock hour here underway, 610-632-0975. We've been rolling. We haven't even had a chance to adjust and talk about a lot of other things, but we will. We definitely want to talk about the fans being back in the building. We have to talk about that. They're starting off with some lower numbers, but look, it's encouraging. You have to start low to get where you want to go. And we get to see all of this stuff. start to kick off. So looking forward to talking about that. Tyler Zuli, see what he has in store for us at the 9:45 mark to give us the leftovers tonight here on the show. 610-632-0975. Don't forget, tomorrow you start your day off at 6 a.m. with Joe Torti and D-Lineham. 6 to 8 tomorrow morning here on the Fanatic. Then 9 to 12 on Sunday. Tyler is with us on Sunday at 6 again. And so we got you covered. Everybody has you covered. Tyrone's with you tomorrow at 9 after you speak with Joe and D. And we got you all covered here. And then the Sixers tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Cleveland Cavaliers. They're on deck. 610-632-0975. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's get Ed and Mo and everybody in here. Ed in South Philly. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Good.
I'm just calling, talking about Ben Simmons a little bit.
Please.
I just have to recollect my thoughts. So here's my issue. I think that you may be a little bit biased in how much that towards Ben Simmons. I like Ben Simmons. I think he's a good player defensively. He's gotten better, right? So he's gotten better as a ball handler. He's less turnover prone. What he can do for this team, I like him on the team. But I think where my issue lays is where he has been, where you say like his progression over the past 5 years as a first round pick, I don't think that he has progressed to the point where he should have. And I'm not even talking about his jump shot, right? If you're not going to be able to have a mid-range jump shot, fine. It's not conventional. It's different. But what bothers me is he still has no post game. He has very few moves that he can do when he's trying to post smaller players. If he's on the left side of the basket, he'll come around towards like the face and have like a right jump hook. His touch over the last month has been a little bit better. In the beginning of the season, he was just throwing the ball off the backboard. I don't think he has the touch that he should have when he's 4 foot around the basket. I don't think he has a good drop step. He has a weak post game. I think that over 5 years, if you're not going to have a jump shot, that is something that he should have mastered, gotten much better at.
Wow, I disagree. Well, first, I need you to tell me where you feel like I'm biased. I don't have any allegiance to Ben Simmons, so where am I biased?
I just feel, well, there was a call earlier, the guy was talking about Brandon Ingram, his progression over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
I feel like you're being a little bit lenient with Ben. I feel like you were saying that you liked his progression, that you liked the way that he's progressed over the 5 years. Did I hear that wrong?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's gotten better. I think he can get significantly better than he already is, just like I think Brandon Ingram can get even better than he is. I look at them and I think they do two different things. They approach the game differently. Brandon Ingram is a flat-out scorer. That's what he goes out there and does.
Right.
Ben Simmons
Absolutely.
Is not that. I don't think.
I know that. He's
I don't
never going to be that.
Right. I don't think Brandon right. Ingram can do what Ben Simmons does. And I really don't think Ben Simmons could ever be the scorer that Brandon Ingram is in the way that he does it. So I think they both gotten better.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to make a comparison between the two.
No,
that
was based on what, you know, like you said, the earlier caller pointed out. And I remember what you're talking about. Yeah.
But don't you, like, for a player that doesn't have any type of mid-range jump shot, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think that he should be better on the block against smaller players?
I think yes, and that's where he's gotten to be a lot more aggressive as of late, Ed, and we've seen that. That's why I get mad at him, because I know he has a better post game than he puts on display. I know his footwork is much better, and his moves may not be like Embiid, but if you look at what they do, while Embiid has great footwork, Ben Simmons has great footwork on the low block. He just doesn't attack it the way Embiid does. He doesn't attack it the way you and I want him to, Ed, and being that dominant post player. But I think he's already a good post player. He just needs to be better at it than he already is.
Yeah, I would like him. Yeah, I mean, I would like him to have some type of fadeaway, like just from a few feet away that he could bank. He just doesn't have enough.
I don't disagree with those things, but like I said, I look at it and I adjust to what he is and what he has, and I look at it and say he's still effective with what he's doing.
I think he's good for the team.
He can be better.
I love him as a defensive player. But a lot of times, like, look at, like, defensive players, a lot of that is natural. He's long, he's athletic. Like, look at Seibel, who comes into the league and he's good defensively, automatically. A lot of, I feel like the progression hasn't met expectations, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like that he should be further along than where he is.
I agree with that. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. I agree with that. He should be. We all know that.
Right, which is why when we talked about it earlier, I said to you, you have to include playoff Simmons and you have to include the less than stellar stuff that he's done in the past.
The only playoff Simmons that I feel, though, again, coming back at what you said, is the playoff Simmons we've already seen. We haven't seen the 2021 playoff Simmons to talk about him because we haven't seen it. We can talk about what we want to see from him, but we're not there yet. If he goes into it with this type of mentality, not just the first round, because I've seen it already against Brooklyn and I've seen it against Miami, where he was the best player on the floor in those two series in those quarterfinal matchups. Semifinals, not so much. Not
right.
so much.
Which is,
and I can say Embiid has to do it, and I can say Tobias Harris has to do it. We're talking about Embiid being the MVP. Is anybody saying anything about that? We're not talking about the playoffs, except for we know that when we get to the playoffs, we have yet to see him be at his full strength because of injury. And then he had the issue with his, he was like sick against the Toronto Raptors and a couple of those. Well, no, it was really, he was sick against Brooklyn. He was banged up a little bit against Toronto, but he wasn't good enough against Toronto for them to win the series overall. We're not saying that he's not the MVP. And let's leave the playoffs until we get to the playoffs. We're talking about, no, finish the play enough regular season games, keep dominating, and get the MVP. I mean, we can't pick Tobias Harris, period, in the playoffs. We haven't seen anything from him yet. Anything. The first time around, when they played Toronto in the second round, he wasn't good enough. The Brooklyn series, he was decent. Him and J.J. Redick were really good. Ben Simmons was the best in that series against them. He was good. He wasn't great. Tobias Harris has to be, we're talking about him making an all-star team. But it doesn't, we don't bring up the playoffs because we're like, no, he's been playing this well to get to the all-star, so we can't pick and choose which ones we want to put that on when none of them have performed well enough where we want them to in the postseason.
Well,
none of them.
And that's where the conversation separates. And you are talking about what you're seeing now.
Today. That's why when we talk about it, I said today, not later. Today. I got it. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
Yeah, so you're talking about right now, which is totally fine, which is exactly where you have taken this entire, you know, 2.5 plus hours, is you're talking about right now. Where I think that Ed was talking about, and many callers previously, and myself, is when you're going in totality, you then can't pick and choose the good stuff. Which we're, I think that certain people have. Not you, not tonight. But you do have to, when in totality, include the failures in the playoffs. That's just where this is, that's where it's separate.
You know, I've never given up the failures in the playoffs. I just ran them off. I can give you every series. I can give you what he didn't do and all of that. I can't worry about that right now until we get there. That's all I'm saying. That's all. 610-632-0975. If we jump that far and that's the only focus that we have throughout when we talk about being the number one seed, we're obviously focused on the playoffs because we want them to have home court advantage throughout the entirety of the Eastern Conference, but also the Western Conference when they play them in the finals. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not ignoring it at all. I'm just choosing to put that on hold right now until we get there. I know the failures. We've talked about them. We've spoken about it plenty where we've said, well, I've said, all right, you won 50 games. Next season, you won 50 games again. I don't care about 50 games because I expect 50 games. I expect it. I expect Ben Simmons to eventually shoot a jump shot. He didn't. I adjust. And that's where we get to the whole conversation of letting him be him. Not ignoring the playoffs. That's what it's all about. Like Denzel pointed out, like Tyler, you're saying, that's what you play for. But you also have to play those games to get to that play for. Mo in West Philly next. What's happening, Mo?
What's going on, Devon? I know it's a long time since we talked, man.
It has been, man.
You're my man for basketball. So I will say that I agree with you in terms of franchise players. It's not many of them. It's probably maybe five or six of them, you know, in league because it's not too many guys you can just drop in any situation. They can build around him, and then they'll start winning. So I agree with you there. I do think that there are a few more superstars, maybe about 15 to 20 superstars in the league. But in terms of franchise players, not many of them.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Yep. He's the guy. You look at him, you're like, no, he's the guy. That's the guy.
Yeah. But I think that when y'all were talking about Kyrie, I think that Kyrie never has got, well, he's never had the opportunity until this year, I think, to really play the position that he was meant to be, which is the two guard. Like, I think he really is a two guard.
But is that also partially like his fault? Because LeBron wanted him to stay and be that guy. Remember, LeBron would defer to him and let him go to work and just let him cook. And he decided to leave. And then when he went to Boston, he wanted the ball. He didn't want to share the ball. He wanted the ball.
I totally agree. But when you get a guy like that, you know, where he's going to take most of the shots, just like when we had Iverson here, you know, and I love Iverson, but, you know, you got to build a team, you know, that's going to do all the other things. And I think when he went to Boston, I mean, he was, he's Kobe's young boy. So like, of course I knew he was going to be like, I got to go somewhere to prove that I'm the man. I knew he was going to do something like that, but they didn't surround him, you know, with everything so he could thrive as that two guard. Your cousin, he's playing with a franchise player in Chris Paul. That guy.
You still think he's a franchise player at this?
I think he just somehow just makes teams better.
He does.
I don't know how he does it, but he just makes teams better for whatever reason.
He does, and that team is good. They're in fourth place in the West, which is tough again. And he turned like he did Oklahoma City last season. He turned that thing around, and they were like, "Oh no! We want to lose.
Right, you
got to go."
Yeah, but I will say on a last note, in terms of the Sixers, I think they have a good thing going. I think if they can stay, you know, close to 100% healthy, even with the team as currently constructed, I think they could win the whole thing. But
wow, really? I don't.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, the Nets, eventually they're going to have to play some defense.
Yeah,
they're going to have to play some defense. And I just think that we can get enough stops to beat them. And I think that the Lakers, I think we have enough depth, you know, like to pull it off. It'll be a really good series. But I think that we could possibly pull that off.
Well, real quick, before you go, Mo, since you talked about that, this is where, you know, I love to get deeper into things. And there are times where I know Steve Nash is going to go with Kevin Durant as a small ball five. While Embiid will eat them up on the other end, you know they're going to send the double teams right away. But what Kevin Durant can do to neutralize Embiid potentially is, number one, make his own threes, but give the ball up to others that maybe have an advantage offensively, where I think Simmons will be on Harden or however they do it. It's going to be weird. So how you look at that Brooklyn matchup, especially when they go with Kevin Durant at the five to kind of close those games?
Well, I think that Simmons has to, if I had to pick my poison, I would say try to put him on Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Even though Kyrie is much smaller and he has a really tight handle, it just seems like the refs are willing to give Harden every call that he's, you know, wants. So, like, and you don't want to put Ben in that situation where he gets a lot of cheap fouls and then he's sitting on the bench. So I would put him on Kyrie. I think that the team has enough shooting, you know, that You just got to keep moving the ball. Got it. That's almost like how they do in Utah. You just got to keep moving the ball, and you got to get, you know, you got to let everybody get a chance to shoot.
Favorable,
you can play like that.
Favorable matchup. Catch them off balance a little bit.
Yep.
All right. Well, I mean, and that's what we all hope to get to. Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Eastern Conference Finals. Let's square
For
up.
Sure.
Let's square up.
Yep.
Mo, have a good one, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good talking to you.
You
Thanks.
Too, man. Thanks, Mo. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975, 945, The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. And folks, I gave Tyler a little bit of an assignment, if you will. As we talk about franchise players, I asked him to look at all 30 NBA teams and write down to let us know who he feels is a franchise player in the NBA. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight, 610-632-0975. We got to get to these tweets, too. We got a bunch of them. We'll get to them shortly. Dave in Lower Merion next to talk about Simmons. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, I think, what do you think? If we could have got Harden for Simmons, would you have made that trade? I heard it was possible.
Yeah, I heard it was close as well. And I was actually listening to something earlier with the Bill Simmons podcast. He and Zach Lowe were talking about it. From what their intel was, is that the Sixers felt as though it was done. And at that moment, I had accepted it, Dave. For a while, I resisted it, but I accepted it that it would happen. And because you knew you had to give up Ben Simmons to get him. Yeah.
So you think, I mean, Harden is much better than Simmons. Harden is a multifaceted player.
Offensively, yeah.
Offensively, Simmons, I guess, a little better defensively, right?
A lot better.
Arguably a lot better. I just think Harden has proven with the Nets to be a true player. A true player. Like, he can do it all. Everyone thought he was just a chuck. I did. But now he's proven. And then you have Simmons, who is actually majorly lacking in shooting, can never going to be a good shooter. Your cousin is a much better shooter than him. Let's just face the fact.
That's true.
I love, much better shooter. So with that said, get Simmons off. I just think he cannot win a championship with Simmons running the team.
Well, I don't think he's going anywhere now, Dave. I think he's here for
the next season. No, I agree. I just think get him off. If you're a Sixers fan, get him off. Like, if you're a GM, get him off the team. Well, that's it. I'm going to let you go.
I appreciate it, Dave. I don't think he's going anywhere. Like you said, it's what it is. He's a part of this team going forward. And I just think that's what it's going to be. That's just what it's going to be at this point. Simmons will be here. And you have to accept it for what it is. You ready?
Got a list.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
You're not going to like this number.
30 teams. How many franchise players do you have and who are they?
So I want to preface this by saying there are guys on their current roster who are not franchise players that would be franchise players elsewhere. Which is why I have 34 names. I have 34 guys that I think could be franchise players.
You have 34
There are not 34 superstars in the league. I will go through these names.
All right, go ahead.
And I'll tell you who is...
Meanwhile, Mo just said, they're like a handful.
Well, and
seven.
And I think that, again, it comes back to, I think that Mo and you, where you guys call franchise, I call superstar. I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
It's just using a different term.
All right.
So for me, in the Atlantic Division, it's Embiid and Simmons.
Franchises.
Yes.
Okay.
Tatum and Brown.
Hold on. I thought you said Simmons wasn't.
No. He could be somewhere
elsewhere.
He's not here.
But we just haven't seen it, though.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard. All right, but go ahead.
But I think that he could be elsewhere.
All right.
Tatum and Brown, Pascal Siakam, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving.
I don't think Pascal Siakam is a franchise player. I don't think Jaylen Brown is a franchise player. I think Tatum could be. Go ahead.
No one for the New York Knicks.
No.
Let's go to the Central. Giannis. Zach LaVine.
No.
Domantas Sabonis.
No.
Colin Sexton.
No.
Nobody for Detroit.
No.
Do you have one? I have four.
Giannis, yeah.
All right, go to, what is it, the Southwest?
Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta, Trae Young.
You know he drives me crazy. There's something about him. Talented, can flat out score. On the floor, something about him But yes, he's a. I think he's a star. I don't even think he's a superstar.
Oh, I don't think he's a superstar. I don't.
Go ahead.
But he could be a franchise player.
Okay.
Bradley Beal. Jimmy Butler. LaMelo Ball. Nikolai Vucevic.
I don't think I agree with Nick Vucevic. No, I don't think he's a franchise player. Melo Ball, too early, but I would say no. Butler, I think he's past that stage of his career. And Trae Young, well, Bradley Beal, I guess he's a franchise. That one's tough. That one is tough. Oh, that one is tough for me. Bradley Beal. I don't know. Oh, man. All right, go ahead. Finish.
All right, so that's the Eastern Conference. So go to the West.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start in the Pacific. Kawhi?
Yes.
Anthony Davis?
Yes.
LeBron James?
Yes.
Chris Paul?
No.
Steph Curry?
Yes.
I can't put Klay Thompson on there right now, just because he's hurt.
He was never a franchise player.
But I think he could be for someone else.
I don't know that. Okay.
De'Aaron Fox.
He is technically their franchise player. I don't know if he's actually the franchise player.
That's what I mean. He could be somebody's franchise player.
And I don't think he's a superstar either.
What is the division that Utah and Portland are in? Is it the Northwest?
That is where Portland is. That is the they're in the Northwest.
Northwest,
yes.
Okay.
Because the Pacific is the Lakers.
Okay,
yeah, Southwest Spurs.
Utah, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, but I, even with him, I kind of struggle. But okay, yeah.
And Rudy Gobert.
Franchise anchor, not a franchise player.
Portland.
Dame. Done.
And McCollum.
No. And you know I love CJ.
I think that on another team he could be. Denver, Jokic, and Murray.
Murray, no. Jokic, yes.
Nobody from Minnesota.
No Towns?
No, not Towns.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about this one. Yeah. I think he could be. How about OKC? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Shea? No. I think not he could be the two.
Okay. And then we'll go to the last division. What's it? The
Southwest.
Southwest.
Yeah.
Houston, nobody.
Mm-mm.
San Antonio, nobody.
Mm-mm.
Memphis, Ja Morant.
Yes.
Dallas, Luka.
Yes, clearly.
New Orleans, Zion and Ingram.
Zion, yes.
No Ingram.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
That gets me to 34. You have like 8.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're saying, man. That's where this whole thing is wild.
And that really, I know we're up against it. I apologize. That really quickly is where your definition of franchise player and my definition of superstar
arc
probably meet up.
All right, man. Listen, final segment on the other side. KP, we start with you when we get back. And the always, always highly anticipated Leftovers by Tyler Zuli, 9:45, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.929 final segment here. 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. In just a few minutes, we'll get the Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. Also want to speak about fans being allowed to see their favorite teams on the field of play. Talk about that soon. 610-632-0975. KP in the Northeast joins us next. KP.
Hey, Devon Tyler, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, man?
Hey, not much, you know. So my thing is, I'm going to start by first off saying this. I understand, you know, Simmons, he needs to start shooting the ball. That's obvious. That's one thing. But see, my thing is I don't get what people, you know, it seems like they, you know, they just focus on that one thing. Like, oh, he needs to shoot the ball. But they don't see that when he's not in the game, how much the entire team struggles. So they don't have a point guard on that team to facilitate the other people and create other shots. Like, yes, he should start shooting, because if he starts shooting, he goes from whatever, maybe top 20 to top 3 in the league instantly for, you know, many reasons. They start guarding him, you know, up at the 3-point line. He can drive past them, you know, all that. I'm probably the only person in the world that said I would trade Joel before Ben Simmons, because I don't see Joel really playing into his deep 30s.
Because of the health.
Exactly. That's the only reason why. I don't think his body's going to hold up. Nothing to his fault. It's just he's just huge. You know what I mean? I just don't see his body holding up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like everyone is so focused on him shooting that they don't see the other things that he brings to the table. How the offense on the Sixers a lot of times comes to almost a screeching and excruciating halt when he's not in the game. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, I hear you, man. And that's what. KP, that's what we talk about. That's why we're talking about this whole thing and why it's all weird with him, and him just being this weird type of player that's so unique and has us having these types of conversations and looking at Embiid, as you just pointed out. There have been many people who felt the same way, that if you had to move one, if you had to choose between the two, you would take the younger guy because you can trust him with his health, and Embiid, the shelf life may not be as long because of the fact that he stays hurt, and you know the issues that he's already had with his knees and his feet and all the back and all that kind of stuff. And I get it, but that's why KP, we're talking now about potential trades, where some people are saying, well, nah, don't rush and do it now, when then there are others who are saying, wait a minute, you got to take advantage of the type of season that Embiid is having. You can't waste these years any longer, and you have to go out there and get the type of player that you need to put this squad over the top.
Right, and see, that's the one question I have for you, and then I'll hang up and listen. Like, who would you like to see them go after? Like, what type of player would you like to see? Like, I know Kyle Lowry's out there, but other than maybe Kyle Lowry, is there anybody that you have in mind? All right, Devon, you the man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, KP. The only names that we've talked about that seem like are legit, I was always on the George Hill train, potentially doing that as a backup. Off the bench, you trust him more than you trust Shade Milton, and you ask him to do similar things, but at least you know he's been there, he's done it, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals as well. The Evan Fournier thing is intriguing as well with the Orlando Magic. If they decide at the end of the day he's a free agent, let's get something now. I said I was going to dive into this more. I haven't done it yet. Give me the weekend, maybe even going into next week. Final game is Wednesday, and maybe we can talk about that a week from tonight as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is March 25th. There are names. We have to match salary, all that stuff. So, like right now, I'm messing around with the trade machine with Kyle Lowry. So far, we know the usual suspects, Danny Green, Mike Scott. Kyle is on a $30.5 million contract. Danny Green, 15.3. Mike Scott, $5 million. Between those two, that's 20.3 to Kyle's 30.5. You're going to have to add something. So are you going to? They're not going to just simply take Terrence Ferguson's 3.9. They're going to want a talent. They're going to want Tyrese Maxey, or they're going to want Furkan Korkmaz. No, not even Furkan Korkmaz. Tyrese Maxey or Matisse Thybulle in this spot. So, I just got one from Rich on Twitter. I mean, on the text board, and he asked about Victor Oladipo. We've talked about him as well. I'm not in love with it. He's also on the expiring. I think his more is close to like 20, 21. I'm not mad at it. I would do it. I don't. And he probably does more of what you want than what Kyle Lowry does. But I still love the addition of Kyle Lowry. So let me, you know, KP, let me put together a few more names, and then I'll let you know for sure. Hopefully you're listening next week, over the next 2 weeks as we do this. 21? Okay, cool. I knew I was close, but 21 million. And so yeah, we'll see. But the Kyle Lowry thing, you know, I'm in. And Kyle Lowry, you think about it, Lowry, Simmons, Harris, Embiid, Curry, those backcourt, it doesn't even matter that they're small because you have these other large dudes, Simmons 6'10", Tobias Harris 6'9", Embiid 7'2". All of them play defense except Curry, but the scoring, you have a variety of scoring at that point.
My only concern with Lowry, and I'm not going to go down the, you know, I don't like him.
Yeah.
Lane, well,
yeah.
Right. This is strictly from like an objective viewpoint. My only concern with Lowry is if you make that deal, that's the only deal you're making. Because you are not going to be able to trade anything else to get what you're looking for. So unless you can find somebody in the buyout market or someone who is, you know, at home right now, not playing, that's the only move that you're going to be able to make. So my concern becomes you're adding Mike Scott to that deal because you have to match up the salary. You're already super thin at the four position anyway. You're going to deplete a depth chart of like two guys to one. And I know that Simmons can play some of those minutes, but where do you go for the backup 4 minutes at that point?
And you're talking about Scott losing him with his minutes.
In the trade,
In the trade. Well, I guess that's where you also look at the buyout.
You would have to
see if there's something available because you pushed all your chips in to Kyle Lowry. I've said it all along, to your point, two people. They need two. And yes, you are depleting probably four players in the trade plus a draft pick, something like that. But you're probably going to have to go out there on the market and pick up someone who's available as a buyout candidate. And now those minutes are available. So to the point of them choosing over Brooklyn or Milwaukee to come to Philadelphia or maybe even somebody like Miami, Philadelphia's minutes now are available at that backup four spot. So I think you would be fine. I do. So it would have to be somewhere Danny Green, Scott, Bradley, Thibault, a pick to reach the number close enough to the 30.5. So I just did Green, Scott, Bradley, and Thibault, and that's 26.6 to what Lowry's 30.5. And don't forget they have the trade exception from Al Horford, which is $8 million. And they still hold it, I think, the James Ennis as well for like $1 million and some change. So they have some stuff to play with.
And I don't know
Rich
how.
Also says, don't forget, you in a trade, you might have to incorporate a third team.
It's true. I don't know how you feel about it, but the first round pick or multiple first round picks, if the player is correct, they don't bother me at all.
You're picking at 27 and 28.
I don't care.
Yeah.
If you're going to go all in for a championship, I do not care.
Are you on that train? Picks. Going all in on the championship?
Yes.
Because some people were saying, no, don't go, don't push.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
You have to.
Absolutely.
You have to. Have to.
Because it's what you talked about with, whoever just called us prior was talking about, you know.
KP?
Yes, KP. Joel Embiid's finite shelf life. You don't know how long it's going to last. You got to take advantage of his prime right now. They're ready to win.
Yes, sir. Got to do it. Can't waste it. All right. Before we get to Lance, there's been some talk, Tyler, about the city of Philadelphia letting folks back into the center and potentially for the Phillies games as well. Right now, as I look at something here like Charlie O'Connor from The Athletic, who covers the Flyers, says the Flyers confirmed that the city of Philadelphia lifting the cap on indoor attendance at the Wells Fargo Center to 500 people starting March 1st, which is on Monday, and isn't enough to have fans back in the arena. The increase of staff to accommodate fans wouldn't leave enough to also have fans. So, not just yet. So, what do you think, Ty?
I think it's a good first step. Honestly, I think that, you know, obviously we're going to gradually bump those numbers up as COVID numbers come down, vaccination numbers go up. Those numbers will continue to rise. It won't be, I don't think either stadium will be full at any point this year, but I think that 500 inside Wells Fargo Center, that won't last long.
No.
And I mean that because I think that number is going to go up. Once you start getting fans back in the stadium and in the arena, and again, COVID numbers continue to come down, vaccine numbers continue to go up, I bet you 500 turns into 1,000. I would say within
quickly
2 or 3 weeks.
Quickly, no doubt about it. So we'll keep monitoring that and see how things go when it comes to fans being back in the building. It'd be great to have everyone in, but only obviously if it's safe to do so. Let's go to Lance in Arizona here. Next on the Fanatic, Lance.
What's up, Devon? So I wanted to talk about the Lowry thing, but the first thing I wanted to call about, because I heard somebody talking about Ben Simmons has got more confidence. I agree with that statement, but the thing that we don't...
Oh, say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I said the person who called in earlier that said Ben Simmons has more confidence now, I 100% agree on that.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so, but the other thing about this is, because Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, when they got on the floor together for the first time, were a playoff team, we got a little spoiled by the fact it's just easy that they continuously make the playoffs. That's not usually how the NBA works. Usually it will take you about 2 or 3 seasons to build up to that point. Now, the Sixers were really bad before that, but those guys never played. Usually when those type of players play, even when they're good, look at LeBron James. He didn't make the playoffs his first year when he was on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were a bad team. They had to get to that point and mature. I just think you're seeing guys maturing because he's 24 years old. He's not 22, 21 years old anymore. He's maturing into himself. Now, I think the coaching has definitely helped, and I definitely think he's more confident. But I think it's just he's 24 now, and he's not 21, so he's more mature when he's on the court.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. At some point, it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I was always kind of like, don't trade him unless you're getting a star, because you're still trading a guy that's only 21, 22, 23 years old. Because if he matures and you think he has confidence like he's doing right now and he can shoot 70% at the line, you're not going to find, unless you get a star back, somebody that's equal to him. It's not worth taking that risk just to do the now. Which brings me kind of to Kyle Lowry. I like Kyle Lowry, but I wouldn't make that move depending on what I have to give up. I get Joel Embiid only has a finite amount of time because of everything, but I look at it this way. Are you going to beat the Nets if you get Kyle Lowry, giving up what you're going to give up, and then at the end of the year, he's a free agent, so you're going to either have to pay him at 34 years old really good money to continue this, and you got to hope that he doesn't decline, or would you rather just go with what you have and make some minor moves and next year see if there's a star out there where you can just pay the moon to try to bring that guy in to that core? Because I look at it this way. You bring Kyle Lowry in, I still don't think you beat the Nets. So, like, I get next year the Nets are going to be good again, but I might get a better player next year for what I'm going to have to give up just to get Kyle Lowry, and then he's just going to leave at the end of the year.
Well, I would, but I hear where you're going with the direction that you're taking it, because – like we've talked about, number one, I don't think they're going to make a big move. I think there are going to be two small pieces that are made, but that are significant enough to make this team better depth overall, even though, you know, the playoff shrinks in terms of your rotation. So, but I do think it makes it better. And yeah, because the fact that I think Lowry defensively helps you and you want to be a defensive team to win. And then you have enough scoring. You can have someone who's going to take some of the pressure off, someone who can hit a big shot, who has done so in the playoffs. And someone who just has a leadership role and has the respect of those other guys, and then everything else just simply falls into place when it comes down to it. So, yes, but I do get your point later on of what are you going to do in the off season. I get it.
But this is my point, though. I get he does all that, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that. My problem is, does that make you better than the Nets? Because that's who you have to beat to get to the NBA Finals. If you make that move and you give up the sun and the moon just to bring them back, I don't know what they're going to give up, but I'm just saying, if that's what you have to do to get them out of Toronto, and he leaves at the end of the year as well, that's just another different topic of it. If that doesn't make you better than the Nets, why are you going to give up so much to do that just to get to the Nets, lose to the Nets, and then next year when you need those assets, when you think you can get a better player and you don't have those assets anymore, you're going to be in trouble because you're not going to be able to get the assets necessary next year when you go to do it. I just don't think, like, I like Kyle Lowry, like I said, I agree with everything you said. I don't think he specifically makes them better. Like, if you told me they were going to get Zach LaVine, I would tell you, yeah, I think they have a really good chance to beat the Nets because I think you have enough scoring and defense to do it. I don't think Kyle Lowry, if you just bring him in, I don't think he's good enough to put you over the top of them. Like, that to me, like, you're taking a risk for just this year. Meanwhile, next year, there could be a better player on the market, and then you're not going to have any assets because you gave it up for Kyle Lowry. That's the thing you have to, like, manage, because I think that's the thing when the Sixers, when it comes to it, they're going to have to decide whether or not we want to go with Kyle Lowry just this year and just go for it this year, or next year thinking that there could be somebody out there with the same amount of package and stuff we were going to give up for Lowry, we could use then, and I think we could be better than the Nets at that point. I don't know either way. Like, I'm worried that it doesn't make you better than the Nets.
I hear you. And that's the issue that they have to think of. Is it the right move to make that makes you better overall? Listen, man, always good to catch up with you, Lance. We'll talk soon, man. Have a good weekend. You got it, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Mike first, and then we'll get to the leftovers before we get out of here for the start of our weekend off. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
Good, man.
I am in big agreement with that last caller. Kyle Lowry, I think he's great, but he's 34 years old. And to me, our second unit is way too weak. Let me ask you something. I know you're a fan of Kyle Lowry coming here.
Yes.
He would start, obviously, in your mind, right? Mm-hmm. And what would that starting lineup look like for you? What's your five with him here?
I would still start Seth Curry because Danny Green will most likely be out of here.
Okay. So that's Curry and Lowry. We have now gone smaller. To me, that also puts Ben Simmons at the four, which he's not offensively sound. He's been aggressive, which I like, but, like, he needs the ball in his hands. If he's not going to shoot, he needs the ball in his hands. He's a great passer.
I've seen Kyle Lowry play with the ball out of his hands as well. Kawhi Leonard brung the ball up quite a bit and initiated that offense in Toronto where Kyle played off ball. So I think they would mix that up a little bit.
And I agree, but my point is Ben Simmons isn't Kawhi Leonard.
No, he's not. But what we've seen, I think that what we've seen with him playing off ball from time to time, I think you'll be fine.
To me, it's the second unit that's the problem.
Sure.
Somebody, if Kyle Lowry were to come here, in my mind, somebody needs to step up and say, I will come off the bench. Whether it's Tobias Harris, I know he's a max contract, but the bench is too weak because it happened in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago in Portland. It always happens when the starters come out of the game in the third quarter. We're up by 9. We're up by 8. It happened in Phoenix. And then the starters come out of the game, the bench comes in, and now we're down by 9. And the starters have to come back in and crawl all the way back. Our second unit, to me, is just too weak to compete with anybody because we can never put teams away. And B could have it going on in the first half, and we're up big in the first quarter. We're up big in the second quarter. And for a long time, you've heard these third quarter lapses, and I think it's because our second unit just isn't strong enough. And what that last caller was alluding to is the Jimmy Butler thing. We gave up Covington and Dario Saric to get Jimmy Butler. And that's what he means by if we give up all these assets and Kyle Lowry comes here, now we're in the same situation as a few years ago where we're going to end up signing a $109 million Al Horford because we were just stuck to. There was nothing else to do.
Yeah, and see, in that case with Jimmy Butler, it was the right move. What they did, they screwed it up with, you know, Brett Brown having their issues and maybe even Ben Simmons also having his issues with Jimmy Butler being here, and that's why that didn't work out. Otherwise, that was fine. You roll with that and you keep it moving. Tobias Harris is probably not here, and you worked everything else out everywhere else with the team. But listen, Mike, thanks for the call, man. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
You too, man. And look, it's not going to be perfect when it comes to everybody's in 100% agreement to go get Kyle Lowry. There are going to be some that push back and say no. We will find out if it happens on the floor. The depth with the second unit, guess what? As much as we may like the names and the bodies are available, we already have the issues with the second unit that we talk about. Kyle Lowry in the starting lineup with Seth Curry and Ben Simmons, and the versatility overall is good enough, in my opinion. It is now 5 minutes later. Let's get to the leftovers with Tyler Zuli.
All right, let's try to cover as much ground as we possibly can. We're going to start in the NBA. One of the weirdest things that I read today is the NBA league offices are now requiring college seniors to petition the league for inclusion on NBA early entry lists in order to become draft eligible for 2021. Now, the reason that this is happening, Devon, is because the NCAA granted an additional year of eligibility to all winter athletes, regardless of graduation status, meaning that every senior in college basketball is eligible to return for the 2021-2022 season, even if they have played all of their years of eligibility prior to that. The NBA, this move from the NBA is expected to result in record-breaking numbers of players who declare for the draft early. Last year had 163 underclassmen. This year they're expecting to shatter that number because seniors, quote, will have to declare for the draft.
Interesting. Interesting. We knew it was going to happen as far as the extra time, as you pointed out, because of the coronavirus and all. This is going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And then how does this now affect the future as well?
Let's go to the NFL next. Tell me if you've got any interest. The Houston Texans are releasing running back Duke Johnson and center Zach Martin. Now, of course, the Texans acquired Duke Johnson from Cleveland for a third-round pick. In 11 games last year, he had 235 yards and one touchdown on 77 carries. He was brought in to be the pass-catching back, which we know that he's good at, but he backed up Carlos Hyde in 2019, backed up David Johnson in 2020. Any interest as a backup next season?
Duke Johnson? Not yet. Not yet. No. Why does he keep being moved around? We thought he was going to be that guy in Cleveland as far as a backup. Then he goes there to Houston. Injuries were happening, and he still, you know, just wasn't enough. So while we liked the name based on what we thought Cleveland was going to have, no, not right now. Not right now.
I think I might consider it. Pass catching back, pair him with Boston Scott as the two backups.
Yeah.
Might do it.
I'm not sold on Boston Scott.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So we've gone to the NFL and the NBA. Let's go to college football next. Now, it's not every day that the number 27th ranked recruit, which is a really good recruit for the 2022 overall draft class, gets this much accolades. But quarterback Ty Simpson committed to Alabama today. He's the number 2 dual threat quarterback. He chose Alabama over Clemson and Tennessee, but that's not where this story gets interesting. Do you know what the fourth school was that he had on his list to be committed to?
Temple.
How about UT Martin? FCS UT Martin.
Really?
Yes. Do you know why he had UT Martin on his recruiting board?
He has a connection there?
His dad is the head coach.
Head coach.
So, effectively, what Simpson did, knowing that he probably was not going to go to UT Martin, put them on his final list of teams to give them some publicity for other recruits.
A little clout, huh? I like it. I love it. Actually, I love it. Nice.
All right, let's go to Major League Soccer next as we try to go to as many things as we possibly can. Major League Soccer announced today, due to some issues with COVID and such, that the MLS Sacramento expansion franchise will be dropping out of the league. Here's the quote. Earlier today, informed the league that based on issues with the project related to COVID-19, Ron Burkle has decided to not move forward with the acquisition of an MLS expansion team in Sacramento. Now, Devon, you know that I've talked about this before. Expansion is growing rapidly in the MLS. This hurts.
This does hurt. I wonder how much the coronavirus is affecting things.
I think it's specifically.
Yeah, so that's sad to hear that. That is. You got the baseball one?
Yes, one final story. The Blue Jays have announced they won't broadcast their radio games this year, and instead they'll simulcast the TV broadcast on the radio. This has a lot of people not overly happy because, as we know, TV and radio broadcasts are a little bit different. TV, obviously, you can see what's happening. whereas radio, you cannot. So there's a lot of fans that are not very happy about the fact that the Blue Jays are excluding their radio broadcast team.
I don't blame them. I don't like that. I don't like that. All media. Put it everywhere. Everyone can't watch television. So,
well, no, so the TV broadcasts are going to be simulcast on the radio.
I'm sorry, everyone has their favorites. You know, you get used to certain people. And I don't like that.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
but Devon, those are our Friday leftovers.
Those are the leftovers. And we had so many here on Twitter that I didn't get to, man, that people are going to start yelling at us because I don't get to this. They're going to yell at you because I didn't do it.
Yeah, you can blame me. That's fair.
That's my fault.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
Blame the producer. That's cool.
That's all good. Todd, thanks so much, man. Great work all week. Make sure you listen to Tyler Zuli on Sunday at 6 a.m. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'll be back Monday. Before Sixers Pacers, who are currently taking on the Boston Celtics in a good game right here, in Boston. So we will have the Sixers Pacers at 7. We'll get you ready for that with the pregame show. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, all the tweeters out there. We always appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Be safe in all the rain. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk to you on Monday, 6 o'clock, right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.